Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am Trebuchet. I am coming right through your ear holes, through speakers or something like that. Directly to my right is my counterpart here, Chad Showtime Schultz.
I like to think of you as my better half, better, more stoned half.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. Win.
I think it's a good one. But yeah, I'm happy to be here sitting in this little hippie circle at your parents' house.
Absolutely. I am sitting like CM Punk right now. We are on the road, everybody.
That's right. I'm feeling like the Grateful Dead right now.
It's pretty wonderful. Also, directly across from me, our other counterpart, Brooke the Bruiser. How's it going?
I'm so good.
That's awesome. Rocking a ukulele.
Yeah, you are a fantastic ukulele player. I didn't know
I'm
that.
I'm just strumming. It just feels
It sounds right.
It does.
This house is very hippie-centric.
You can convince me you're actually playing just because that sounds so nice. Yes, this is the hippie household. It makes sense having met you.
Yeah. But before we get into anything wrestling related, I want to say congratulations, Showtime, for moving on. And the funniest person in Grand Rapids. You're moving on to round two.
Yes. I sure am.
You are becoming the new people's champ.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah, I was referring to, you know, the people voted for me.
Yes.
And, you know, when I win this thing, not if, but when.
But when, okay.
I am the people's champ, and I can't wait to, when, you know, they ask me about it. I just want to get on the mic, and I want to give my best Rikishi. I did it. For the people. Drop the mic.
That'll be
don't
wonderful.
Drop the mic.
But don't
it's
really
drop
it. I'll be under there. I'll catch it. I'm going to catch it.
You're going to do your best save.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to make my best like football grab, which will segue us into the topic for today, athletes in wrestling. Yes, it's a good topic. I'm kind of talking about athletes who started as like professional athletes are going into professional wrestling. Mm. Might as well start with the topic of Ronda Rousey. She's the one doing it currently, coming in from the UFC.
Yes.
Made her debut at the Royal Rumble, and now she's going to go for a legitimate run in the WWE.
Sure. So can I start off by asking you guys how you felt about her debut? Like, what?
I thought it was kind of weak. I thought it was kind of weak. Because she didn't do anything.
Sure.
She just pointed.
Did you see
what I mean?
Her face, though?
She legitimately felt emotion like a
badass.
But, like, I thought you were talking about after.
No.
Oh, because afterwards, Renee interviewed her, and she said it was a dream come true and everything. She's getting a little teary-eyed and everything.
She's been a big pro wrestling fan, you know, since the beginning, and she, they had her come out in the, you know, the Roddy Piper throwback kind of shirt. But she used to come in Roddy Piper t-shirts to, like,
stuff.
The show, because they would always like show her in the crowd or whatever at Raws or, she's been a wrestling fan for a while. But you kind of thought it was a little bit weak. What'd you think, bro? What was your impression?
I thought it was brilliant because everybody at the Royal Rumble party, basically, it was almost a sweep of the surprise entrant was gonna be Ronda Rousey.
Right.
And, like, she's just so hyped for this Royal Rumble that they, like, swung the curveball of, like, you thought she was going to be in it, but we saved her for the very last.
That's good.
We're, like, celebrating Asuka's win. He's like, all right, I guess Ronda's not here, so we're going to celebrate this. And then Bad Reputation hits, and everybody's just, oh, shit.
Loses their minds.
We were all still a little excited. Easily excitable at that party last week.
That's good. No, it was a good party.
Trebuchet throws a mean.
Three claps for everybody that showed up to that party. 1, 2, 3. Nice job, everybody.
Jaeger.
It was a great time. But no, like, because the reason I didn't particularly care for it is because Ronda Rousey made her debut at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Like, that was her showing. Like, this was, like, as far as I felt, her time to get in the ring. And then she didn't even come to SmackDown or Raw. I'm assuming she's going to SmackDown.
No, she's working on a movie.
Is that what's going down?
Well, that was when she was, like, you know, doing her I'm not going to be there thing to, you know, TMZ and whatever. She's like, well, I'm actually shooting a movie right now, which she is.
Okay.
But she basically took the day off shooting that movie to, you know, be there. It sounds like she has signed a full-time contract, though.
That's what I'm hearing.
So when she's done, you know, filming that movie, she will be an active member of the roster. Mm. I would imagine more so than, like, a Brock Lesnar or even a John Cena is, if the words full-time are to be believed.
Yeah, I have the feeling that she has the potential to become the greatest athlete to segue into wrestling because every, like, we'll get into it with everybody that's done it, but it's all, they've never reached the pinnacle, really.
Well,
like,
here's the thing, is you're either a money mark, where you don't have any talent or experience in the business, but you got money and you're famous.
Yeah.
Or you have a name, you know, but, you know, either guys don't want to be there, or they're for the money, but don't care about the business,
yeah.
Or they care about the business, but they're not drawing because they're not as big a name.
Right.
It's weird to think that she has the talent, the name, and just wants to be there in the first place.
As far as I'm concerned, she has a legitimate shot at this title, whereas no athlete up until this point has really done that.
Because
I think WWE champions, I don't know athletes pop out at me. It's all pro wrestlers.
Yeah, so like, I guess...
Like guys like Brock Lesnar start in wrestling, and then they go over to the UFC. CM Punk's another one. Bobby Lashley's done it. I'm missing at least one more. Gentleman Jack. He's undefeated as far as I know.
UFC record, I believe.
Yeah.
UFC, but he's kind of an MMA record.
Dream match, I want to see him MMA fight CM Punk. That's what I want to see.
That would be a good fucking
match. That's what I want to see.
I think he said something about wanting to... CM Punk, Dana White had said, I'm going to give CM Punk one more chance in the UFC. And Jack Gallagher was like, I got an idea in mind for an opponent.
Yeah.
One more thing about Rousey, though, is that I think where they're headed with this is... it seems interesting because WWE might be learning to play off this new... a little bit more, like... left-wing portion of their fan base that wants different kind of heat. They're mad at Ronda. Ronda has some heat coming in with these fans because how dare you steal this moment from these women that are on the road and
Women's revolution.
She stole their thunder, which I personally feel like is a bad argument, but is a real argument people are having online. It's a real opinion.
They consider her an outsider.
She
hasn't paid her dues.
There's this white famous woman steals the spotlight from a minority wrestling woman.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, okay. Identities...
In 2018 America, yeah, I believe that that's
here
going
we
on.
Are. That was the argument that was made. And WWE is... I'm assuming this is all work, but the women are on Twitter going, how dare you steal our moment? Asuka earned that moment. You didn't earn that moment. Why are you... And WWE knows...
Asuka still won that moment. I don't know what leftist agenda column you're reading off of. This sounds like fake news.
I can show you some stuff on Twitter.
Part of it was when Ronda Rousey went to shake Asuka's hand and Asuka slapped
that
away.
That was good.
No, that was
I'll remember from the Royal Rumble.
I'm not saying I agree with those opinions, but
right. It's
interesting that WWE is kind of taking that. And now the women on that are currently on the roster are repeating that argument of, how dare you steal our moment? Who are you? You haven't earned your dues in this business. You're taking the women's revolution, this thing we worked for, and you know you're railroading it. And they're taking this opinion that I don't think a lot of people believe in. They're turning it into something. I think it's kind of, it feels like next level WWE like marketing almost.
Maybe it could be.
But they're setting it up to where I think when Ronda debuts, she's not going to be having too many friends in the locker room. It sounds like it definitely crossed like heel babyface line too, where like I think Nia was talking about it, and then you know the Bellas were talking like every all they were,
really
they
That's
were all
some big
all
names.
The,
all
the women were sharing the same opinion of she doesn't belong here. So it sets her up in a position where she doesn't have to be a heel or a babyface necessarily to come in and have the whole
reaction. Okay.
It's interesting. But yeah, as far as, Meltzer was talking to people about how he felt. People were concerned. Ronda Rousey, when she was in the UFC, didn't take losses super well.
Right.
When she'd lose, she would get very upset. She didn't take them as gracefully as a person could.
Well, that's very pro wrestling, though. I feel the same way. I think she can harness
and
show the real emotion of hating to lose.
Exactly, but the issue becomes in that something that's a work, people were concerned that when it's time for her to lose, she won't do it.
I understand.
And Meltzer was pointing out all these,
she
you know...
have that contract.
Yeah, well, Meltzer was also pointing out all these, you know, people had that argument for Lesnar, and people had that argument for... all these other athletes that have come in that we're going to talk about, and just that isn't true. So we can move into like, you know, now granted, Lesnar hasn't taken a lot of losses since he went to UFC and came back.
But he's Goldberg yeah, beat him. Yeah, like, he's had some losses.
And Lesnar sells.
He does.
He's not Mr. Invincible. You know, no. I think he's done a lot.
I feel Braun Strowman is more invincible than Lesnar is right now.
I think Braun Strowman looks invincible because Brock Lesnar has made him look.
That's absolutely right.
Brock is putting Braun over.
He's the first
person other than Goldberg to really put a hurting on Lesnar.
Yeah.
And as
a WWE fan, we're like, oh my god, you gotta see this guy. He's huge and he's just destroying everybody.
I mean, Lesnar,
he flipped the announce table on Raw this week.
Lesnar killed Orton in that match, and he took the fight to Cena, and he broke Triple H's arm. They built Brock Lesnar into a monster.
Yep.
And now there's this new guy coming around that they need to make a monster, and they're having him beat up on Brock. And like, I wasn't sure when Brock beat The Undertaker at 30. It's like, I don't know that mystique is going to do Brock Lesnar any good.
I loved it. It's
turning out well.
I loved it. And the fact that he had Heyman with him at the time, because who's going to...
Yeah,
the one behind the one, you know.
And Brock Lesnar's never been the best promo in the world.
No, but
to have the best promo in the world
right next with to you, yeah, it makes you awesome.
Do you remember when Lesnar came back? Like, what a big, because he left WWE right before I started regularly watching as a kid.
Okay,
I started around SummerSlam after he left.
Yeah.
So he was almost unmentionable in the WWE then. Well, they had like a grudge against him because he was going to the NFL.
Okay. Yeah.
But when he came back, do you remember that night when he came in and just F5 Cena?
I do. Particularly, yeah, it was awesome. I loved it because I was like, I wasn't expecting to see him. Oh, he's back!
Yeah, there were rumors, but like, it's Lesnar. No.
Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, sure. They always say that, you know. And then they did it, and I was like, yes.
So he's been probably the most famous wrestling do something else and come back story, because he tried football and that went last year.
Especially as far as athletics go, like The Rock does movies and stuff, but that's different. Yeah. That's not really
usually when a guy leaves wrestling to go to another sport, they never come back to the WWE. They wind up in the Indies somewhere, but WWE really doesn't have them back.
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing with Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, you know, I always like Ken Shamrock, but he's stuck in MMA limbo somewhere.
He sounds like he wants another run. Sounds like he's interested
in the MMA or the WWE.
No, WWE. Sounds like he's been interested to come back for a minute. I hear him and Triple H don't get along.
I could see that.
It sounded like Ken Shamrock was the baddest dude in the company for a minute, and when Triple H, when he was coming up, really resented that because.
I remember watching Ken Shamrock had some battles with Steve Blackman, and I remember the Lion's Den match particularly, that I was just all like, this is the craziest concept of anything I've ever seen. Like,
yeah. Shamrock and I'm losing his name right now. Dan Severn, both guys. Well, I think Shamrock was a wrestler first. Shamrock was a pro wrestler. Then he had the MMA background, but he never did MMA. He went to UFC and was kind of like balancing back and forth. Severin was a UFC MMA fighter, and I think did pro wrestling on the side.
Mm-hmm.
There's that famous shot of Severin. I think it was a UFC title actually. It was a major MMA title way back at the start of like MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Before the lawsuits and stuff. Like it hadn't even been illegal yet. It was legal. It hadn't been invented yet.
Right.
There's that shot of he's the promoter from New Jersey. They did stuff in Dennis Corluzzo is holding the NWA title that Dan Severn also holds in front of his face on this MMA podcast.
Oh.
Or broadcast. So like Severn's won the title, he's holding the belt. Corluzzo sticks the NWA title in front of his face.
Oh my lord. That's awesome.
But I think those are two of the names that really like balanced the both at the same time. I think they both could have been much bigger stars.
I do too.
And I mean, they Shamrock and Severn had a history together in MMA before the company.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people felt like they really missed the boat on, they never went near each other.
Yeah.
Not once.
That's interesting, you know, missed opportunities
for
know.
Sure. So what other you know, athletes coming into the company, you know, that stick out in your mind?
One particularly is Mike Tyson.
That's a great one.
Baddest man on the planet. Yeah. It was WrestleMania 13, I believe.
Yes.
It was Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mike Tyson was a special guest enforcer.
Yeah, well, Mike Tyson was suspended from boxing at the time. Yeah. Right? He had hit all the trouble in court.
Right. Leading up to this, Mike Tyson became, like, a member of DX at one point.
Yeah, so he shows up. The one you see the most is him, Vince McMahon bringing him in on Raw for, like, an appearance with, you know, his full posse.
All the
stuff.
Security. He, like, you know, I remember watching this Raw. I was glued to my TV watching this
Mike
thing.
Tyson was the hottest name in sports and, like, in just in pop culture in general.
Yeah.
He was everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and then, to have that on Raw. And
Vince
then,
is introducing him, going to say what he's going to do, and then the glass shatters, and Stone Cold Steve Austin comes down and just gets in Mike Tyson's face.
The baddest man on the planet against the baddest man in WWE. I mean, it writes itself.
I'm paraphrasing here, but Stone Cold pretty much said to him, once you get in the WWE ring, you're messing with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's something you just don't do.
Yeah.
Loved it. He shoves them at one point, no, and then everybody breaks it up.
That big pull apart, Vince McMahon, you know, classic overacting.
Overacting, kicking
you
at
ruined
him.
It! You ruined it!
So good. Classic Vince McMahon style. So there was a lot of build-up to this, and just a little off the cuff here, Mike Tyson is a big WWE fan as well.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He's just been watching it forever, as far as I know, and the match comes, and he does a typical just swerve,
rip off the
DX shirt and showing a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt. He actually ends up making the 1-2-3, Shawn Michaels shoulders down.
He counts the pin and then knocks Michaels out with that big old punch.
Yeah, Michaels gets up, he's like, what are you doing? And sucker punches him, Mike blocks it, and bam, right hand, Michaels is out. And that you literally don't see Shawn Michaels for years after that. Not because of the punch,
put
his life back together,
essentially. Yeah, the back issues, I think he was actually pretty hurt in that match.
He was.
The classic urban legend that I think has been confirmed is Michaels was champ. You know, Michael's not wanting to do jobs. He's known for that. And, they were afraid he wasn't going to drop to Austin, or if he was going to drop to Austin, he wasn't going to do it the right way. He wasn't going to, you know, he's just going to take a flop and embarrass him. And supposedly, The Undertaker taped his fists up in the back.
Really?
And sat down at Gorilla.
Oh,
and
man.
Just it was unsaid, but the idea was, if Michaels does the right thing, no problem.
If Michaels doesn't
do the right thing, he's going to leave the company one more time and kill their hottest upcoming star, Stone Cold, by making him look foolish at WrestleMania, Undertaker was going to kick the shit out of him.
That's rightfully so, because they were battling with WCW at this time.
Yeah,
the war was very
relevant that Stone Cold needed to look good, and Michaels was on his way out, and they knew that.
Yep.
Supposedly, Michaels got pinned and took the punch from Austin. Undertaker stands up. And Gorilla takes the tape off his fist, walks away.
Yeah.
Without a word. Which is one of my favorite Undertaker stories.
I love that. The match itself was great. Like, if you...
Really?
I've always been a big...
It was a good match, but I don't think it was a great match by Shawn Michaels standards.
Yeah, if that's what we're comparing it to, then...
Sure. Like, with Shawn Michaels in the match, I feel like it could have been better, but also, his head was in the wrong place, and he was... not physically feeling very good.
Right, but as far as mixing an athlete into it, I feel like it was done very well.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It was
know
always
that,
like
Tyson's
out there. What's he going to do?
It was Tyson out there, but it didn't expose him or the wrestlers by trying to have him wrestle a match.
Right,
Tyson was great, but if you would have gone, Tyson, get in there and run the ropes and, you know, put him in a headlock and take him over, I don't know that would have looked any good. But they had Tyson do a swerve and knock Shawn Michaels out, the two things they knew he could do.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I want to segue into the next guy here, Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
He actually ends up having a match in the WWE at one point.
Yeah, which not terribly fondly remembered.
I love the way they set this match up.
Okay.
Like, because Mayweather came out, and he broke the Big Show's nose.
Yeah, he throws like a combination. Yeah. I don't know which punch got him.
It was,
but if you watch it in
I
slow,
think it was the third one. I'm not
you
sure.
If you watch it in slow motion, you can see him hit him about six times, and on one of them, his nose just pops.
Yeah, like that particularly I remember, because the Show chases him out, and Shane McMahon comes out, and we haven't seen Shane in a long time, and just like, I was all like, this dude's Mayweather's
cut a promo. No Way Out, isn't it? A month before
I thought it was. I didn't look it up because I'm a terrible person.
He's got his whole entourage with him. And yeah, Big Show kind of comes out. And Big Show had just come back from trying to box.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Big Show tried boxing for a minute. In that interim, when he lost all that weight, I forget when he left the company. But he was gone for a few years, and he lost a bunch of weight, and he tried boxing. Apparently, no one really wanted to fight him. And
well, I wouldn't either. Yeah, like, he was huge.
He's got his hands.
He's going to have reach on you,
yeah,
for sure.
So that's when he came back and started throwing the punch.
Yeah, the big right hand.
Yeah.
Which made sense, because it's the biggest right hand in pro wrestling, you know?
Yeah,
it's
so
the biggest Mayweather's head. That was a big part of it, you know?
So if he can't knock you with a punch, who can?
Yeah.
So he comes out, kind of gets in, leans down to get in Mayweather's face. I'd be a better boxer than you. Mayweather just pop, 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 pow.
Yeah.
And then, runs off, and you can just see Big Show just storming mad with his nose just, leaking.
Spitting blood. Just chomping at the bit, ready to destroy him.
Mayweather was kind of I don't think he was as popular as he'd ever be, but he was definitely on the way up.
He was
a pretty well-known athlete. I always wonder about how much other people care about him, because this is coming from Grand Rapids.
Hear about him, I feel, more than most people do.
Yeah.
But, I still feel like he's a pretty big name.
Here's the thing, though. He's not as popular as you think he'd be. People really don't like him.
It depends who you ask.
Yeah, there are a lot of illiterate Mayweather jokes flying around.
No gray area as far as Mayweather goes. You either love him or hate him, which makes him great in the pro wrestling ring. The match itself, it was... I believe it ended with Mayweather putting something on his hand and knocking him the show out.
He hit him with Nux, I think.
It was Nux is what it was. And it wasn't that great, but the promotion of it made me really want to see this fight.
It was the big name, celebrity WrestleMania appearance that year. And it definitely helped. A lot of people who were Mayweather fans tuned in. I think it got them buys. So I think overall it was a good idea. I just don't remember caring for the product that much. It seemed silly. You had a guy that couldn't wrestle, and you had him trying to wrestle at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you had him fighting a guy that was too... it was Rey Mysterio versus the Big Show, except now Rey Mysterio can't wrestle either.
Right.
And he still wins.
Right. Well, I feel like this is, the brainchild that led to the Mayweather-McGregor fight. The crossover.
Yeah,
he wanted to see how the WWE did it and everything, and then he brought it into the UFC and, cashed the checks. That's why they call him Money.
That's fair.
Let's talk about another boxer in pro wrestling real quick. Muhammad Ali. This man was definitely a fan of pro wrestling. You could tell by the way he talked.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was at WrestleMania 1.
He had some matches in Japan with, God, I feel terrible. Basically the biggest name in Japan at the time. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name, in the 60s. I think Inoki.
Maybe you can. Internet nerds, hit us up at Showtime Schultz at Trebuchet LOL if you know who we fought in Japan. We're sorry.
I literally know who it is. I can't think of his name. I'm not a big Japanese pro wrestling fan, but it's basically the biggest name to come out of Japan in that era. He actually had a match with him, but that was not a good match. But the idea, the box office sensation of Muhammad Ali versus arguably the biggest pro wrestler in the world at that time. That's how popular he was.
Yeah.
Just not with the WWF audience. Having a wrestling match was insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when he was brought in, I know all the guys backstage were all like, this is a big deal.
Muhammad Ali,
larger than life, dude.
He kind of inspired, characters like Hulk Hogan. I know Hulk Hogan took his kind of personality off.
Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham. Yeah. Billy Graham has been quoting, he kind of borrowed from Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, the similarities are pretty there. you can compare them side by side and see which inspired
Ali is in the WWE Hall of Fame, isn't he?
If he should be in the celebrity branch. I don't know.
We've shown that apparently I don't know the Hall of Fame as well as I thought I have in the past few weeks, but he did go in.
Congrats to the Dudley Boys, by the way. They are your latest team to be announced for the WWE Hall of Fame in 2018.
And well deserved.
Oh, yeah. Greatest tag team ever. as of up to this point, count their championship. They did it everywhere.
Yeah, they what
everywhere.
What titles haven't they held? Like, they technically didn't hold the WCW titles when WCW was alive.
When WCW was alive, but
they had them later.
They had the revamped.
Yeah, versions, whatever.
Which, yeah,
what didn't they win?
Not as prestigious. IWGP.
Yeah,
both and the big ones and the junior.
They won the NWA. They won the NWA ones when
ECW,
it was NWA and the TNA
in
ones.
Its heyday.
Like, yeah.
They've done it all, and they've done it as a team, like, because, like, they've separated them. Bubba Ray became Bully Ray in TNA for one point, and he had a big push there as a singles guy,
yeah,
but...
Bubba had a decent singles push in, like, 2002 when they split him up in the, the brand split, and D-Von became Reverend D-Von.
Reverend D-Von, I didn't care for. Like, yeah. I'm a huge fan of D-Von, but that angle did not.
You know, I don't hate it as much as everybody. Like, it wasn't fantastic, but I don't hate it nearly as much as everybody else.
That's
does.
Fair.
It was, I don't know, something about it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about something a little sillier right now. Let's talk about Pete Rose.
Pete Rose.
Baseball player is the name of his game. He's never going in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
We'll see about that.
There's been a
good push in the past few years to get him in the Hall of Fame, and I believe they also have had they found out that people that are already in the Hall of Fame are also doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
So like I imagine if he grows sickly in the next few years,
you
like
think they'll put him in.
They'll put him in before he dies.
The
last thing he gets to
is
do.
A WWE Hall of Famer.
He was in the Wrestling Hall of Fame before he was in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep. But he has just had an issue with Kane his whole time in the WWE.
One of my favorites is a few years back they had like the anger management skits with Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And they're talking, he's like, you know, Kane, you know, what makes you tick? And in the list he's like, I have an irrational hatred for Pete Rose.
It's true. It's true.
Every time Pete Rose comes around, Kane just choke slams the shit out of him for no reason.
Well, Pete Rose, I believe the first time he was in the WWE ring, he was in Boston. And he was making fun of them, calling them a bunch of losers, because he was like, you know, they
and
never
then
had anything.
Kane was still, like, the monster. Kane was still the scary guy. And just came out and just gave him the choke slam.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the Tombstone, actually. I know he was doing the Tombstone
He definitely Tombstoned him the next WrestleMania afterwards.
Yeah.
I believe he's attempted to take Kane out a couple times. He dressed up as... a chicken at one point.
Yeah. That was just one of those weird no-reason feuds that kind of have...
Pete Rose is probably one of my favorite athletes in pro wrestling, just because the comic effect he brings to it.
Also, in baseball, Bob Uecker did some stuff.
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame as well.
I believe he was the announcer for WrestleMania 3? WrestleMania 3, because
that,
I remember Andre
that,
choking
yeah, there's
him.
That classic image where Andre just,
everybody's
like, wringing his neck.
Yeah. I'll show you later, Bruiser. I'm sorry. Everybody, I'm
I guarantee she. I guarantee she might not know who Bob Uecker is. She's seen that picture, though.
I hope so.
I don't know anybody that like watches wrestling more than casually and hasn't seen that shot of just like, ah.
Yeah. All right. Karl Malone. NBA player. Probably one of the best performances in ring by a guy.
He did great for a guy. They
tagged with Diamond Dallas Page. They took on Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Dennis the Worm Rodman, also an NBA superstar.
Rodman did not do that well in the ring.
I was never been impressed by Dennis Rodman in
Malone,
the ring. Malone was good.
They told Malone, go out there and wrestle, and fucking Malone
he literally
went out
could.
There and wrestled.
That was a good match.
Yeah, especially for bigger guys too that aren't. Like, they're athletic, but not athletic in, like, a pro wrestling sense. Like, you get, like, guys start to be about 6'10". You know, you're like, you know, you probably shouldn't move around that much. And they start to, you know, move like Kali. And these, you know, for guys with no wrestling training, he was doing really well.
He was good. He threw a diamond cutter really well, man. I'm just saying. Like, I would have liked to have seen Malone get a push.
I would like to see Malone in the Hall of Fame.
He deserves it, rightfully.
He has to.
Yeah, come on now.
Is he in the NWA Hall of Fame? Or in NBA Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I don't know what the parameter is.
Yeah,
I don't know who's
He definitely will.
I don't know if Michael Jordan's in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know very little about it, but with what I do know, if Karl Malone isn't in the Hall of Fame for NBA, he will be at some point.
Yeah.
And I imagine if he's not already, whenever they put him in, WWE may put him in too. you know, steal some press off that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The problem with the Karl Malone thing is it kind of, like, opened the door up for WCW to bring celebrities in and do other stuff they didn't really need to be doing. Like,
the Jay Leno.
Yeah, no, that. It was going to go right to, basically, Jay Leno followed up with that. Yeah, it was, and like, then, oh, Karl Malone did such a good job, let's get Jay Leno in here to wrestle a match.
The famous Hulk Hogan having, or Jay having Hulk Hogan in an armbar and Hogan selling it and everything. Yeah. Really pissed off a lot of guys, yeah, and especially like WWE guys, like they hated seeing that.
Yeah, it was it wasn't good. It was
they didn't like that. And then since we're talking about it, WCW also had David Arquette as their champion, which is probably the worst champion in the history of that title.
It's no, that's easily considered that. It's,
like,
it's
I don't, I have, there's
funny.
Not even a close argument for a second.
It's funny, the Vince Russo still defends that decision, like, adamantly. They're, like, that was the right thing to do.
Right. Well, I personally, I'm a huge David Arquette fan. I don't put, it's not on David Arquette, as far as I'm concerned. Because
I really don't find it. I don't
from
really,
what I understand, he didn't want it.
Yeah.
He did not
no,
want
he
did, it.
Yeah, no, this was like a, we're going to pay you some money and you're going to hold on. I really don't find him to be a scream. Like,
they were promoting the movie Ready to Rumble at the time.
Nothing?
What?
Nothing with that pun?
What did you say?
I said I really don't find David Arquette to be a scream.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know something.
It went over my head.
You
know something
the shit out of that pun that I thought we sure was going to get you.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed the scream reference. But, no, they were promoting the movie Ready to Rumble at the time.
Yeah.
And Arquette started
tons of WCW guys in that, if you go back and
there
watch.
There is. It's a good movie if you're a wrestling fan. If you're not a wrestling fan, you're probably not going to like it.
Yeah.
They also end up doing the triple cage at one point that they did in the movie. I believe Canyon gets thrown off the top of it.
Yeah, that also isn't really seen as, like, a great match.
These are all the Vince Russo years, though.
Yeah.
Like, the common denominator was Vince Russo.
They're trying to incorporate these things, you know, that didn't involve wrestling. You know, they're like,
yeah.
Rather than bring the wrestling to the outside, they brought the outside into wrestling, and it didn't do them
it
really.
It didn't work.
A ton of favors.
And it's not a surprise that WCW collapsed shortly after this. Because, like, it was just, oh my god. You might as well take the championship and throw it in the trash and put it on an actor who's never fucking, doesn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Yeah, well,
no offense to David Arquette.
No, it didn't sound like, it would be one thing if he was the ego driven, like, I'm David Arquette, and if you're want me to show up on your show, you gotta give me the title. Like,
right.
That's not,
no, it wasn't what he was doing at all. They surprised him with it.
They're like, yeah, like, guess what, you're gonna be champ. I'm gonna, what? Like, I don't wrestle.
Yeah.
It was, I felt it was comparable. Do you remember when John Cena, at the height of his fame, took the L to Kevin Federline? First of all, do you remember who Kevin Federline is?
Kevin Federline is Britney Spears' ex.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he FU Kevin Federline?
Cena FU'd Kevin Federline, but then ended up taking a loss to Kevin Federline in a tag match.
Okay, I'm okay with that. Because it was a cheap win,
I believe. It was a cheap win, but here's the thing. Cena was kicking out of everything at the time. Nothing could kill Cena.
You could not kill Cena at the time. That was my biggest gripe with the WWE at that time.
It was a cheap win for Kevin Federline to beat John Cena, but the problem is no one else could get a cheap win on... Edge couldn't get a cheap win on Cena
right,
at the time.
Okay.
Who was doing all the cheating.
I can see why.
And now Johnny Nitro, who also isn't a top name at the time, would go on to be really great, but still wasn't really anything, cheats and helps you know Kevin Federline get a win on Cena cheating... When Cena wasn't losing to anybody under any circumstances at that time.
That's fair.
And so, I guess, had it happened today, it'd be fine, because Cena does take losses today. And
today,
like,
today it's not
cheap win
super Cena anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's human again.
It wasn't nearly as egregious as the you know, giving Kevin Federline the title as... You know, giving David Arquette the title would have been...
That would have been horrible.
Yeah,
like...
but it still seemed... Like, they were trying to get a big name attention, because K-Fed was big in the tabloids at the time. Like, he was a tabloid fixture.
WWE has no problem latching onto celebrities. They had a whole year where they had a different general manager, celebrity, Kevin Hart, Pee-wee Herman.
That was a rough year for
that was. I really did not care for that at all.
Like, nothing...
There was no
the product was bad that year.
It was really bad. Like, I'm usually... Like, I liked the anonymous general manager better than that.
Yeah.
And that wasn't particularly great.
One of the biggest problems then is they would bring these celebrities that would leave and then shit talk Raw. They would, like, talk bad about pro wrestling after they, like, host it.
I didn't...
One of the,
Who are you talking about in particular here?
They had the guy that did the Three Stooges remake that bombed.
Oh, in fact, if the Mad TV guy?
I don't know who he was outside of that, but okay. I knew he was in the Three Stooges movie remake that no one remembers because it was terrible.
Yeah.
But he came, and then someone said something to him after he hosted, and he was like, yeah, I was embarrassed to be on Pro Wrestling TV, the guy who's in a Three Stooges remake in the year 2009.
Come on now.
It really looked bad. We're like, not only are you having E-list celebrities on there, but they're embarrassed to be on your show. Like,
right. The Muppets were there, which was a... I like the Muppets.
The Muppets and WWE have done some kind of funny stuff.
They have.
Admittedly, in a perfect world, I don't think it actually happens. You know, if wrestling were great, were perfect, the Muppets wouldn't be there. But as far as funny celebrity interactions go, I thought the Muppets... Yeah, there was
I'll let them slide.
There was the one where Sheamus and Beaker by each other.
That was super cool. That was super cool. Check that out. That is a classic moment.
It's one of my favorites. I was also really happy for Hornswoggle because he's like a huge Muppets fan.
He got to
interact with the Muppets. I think it was kind of funny.
Yeah, good for him. I'll give him three claps.
That's three claps for Hornswoggle and the Muppets.
Absolutely. Your anonymous general manager, Hornswoggle. That's right. In case y'all were wondering.
And Vince McMahon's illegitimate child.
Yes. That is canon.
All
right, let's go back into athletes here. I know we got a little bit off tangent there, guys. Gronk. Gronk has been at a couple of WrestleManias.
I always saw him do anything at the one.
Yeah.
A lot of times when they start taking crowd shots of celebrities, that's when I'm using the bathroom at WrestleMania, because six hours is a long time to... So I probably might have missed it. He had that pre-show interaction with... Montreal Raleigh, where he tries to hop the barricade, and they didn't let the security guard know he was part of the show.
Right.
The security guard's like, Charlie, no, no, you can't. He's like, no, I'm getting paid to do this. Stop. Yeah. Let me over, please.
Yeah, but we also got to talk about Mojo, because Mojo started in the NFL and has become somewhat successful, but Bruiser, you said his contract was going to be up soon.
I said I read that.
You read that? Okay.
Oh, I hadn't read that. That's not
and I read it on the internet.
That's fair.
That's where I do a lot of my reading. I haven't heard Mojo's contract, so, but that's not to say it isn't. I don't see him going back to the NFL. Like, he didn't...
No, I don't see him doing
was
that.
Wasn't he like only on like the practice squad? Like, he was on...
The Packers?
He was in the NFL the way like you and I are like in the global podcasting game.
That's
like,
fair. We're doing it, we're not well...
We're here, and maybe in a few years we'll be winning titles, but by no means are we...
Hey, I get that NWA championship from my GoFundMe.
How is that doing, by the way?
We currently have zero donations, but we're still trying.
God bless you.
Hit me up at TrebuchetLOL to find the link to my GoFundMe. I read it out last week, but I'm not going to do it this week. But you can find that on there. Help me make my dream come true of being your NWA champion, because I will bring prestige back to it, and we'll do a lot of interesting things.
Help me help my dream come true by helping his dream come true,
yes.
Where I can turn heel on him and win the belt.
Oh, come on. Imagine the drama, Trebuchetes. Imagine it.
Just I hit him with my cane, he goes down. it'll be fantastic.
History. I want to be your first white guy with dreadlocks NWA champion.
I want to be your first blind NWA champion.
Come on, guys. Make this happen.
Please?
And Bruiser's going to swerve us both and become the first
champion. I'm about to say
that would be historical. Listen, Trebuchetes, we will... fucking make that happen. Book it. Another football quote star coming into the WWE was Summer Rae.
Can I just preface this with the only reason I put her on the list is there was a blank spot, and
that's fair. She was
the only one I could think of.
No, that's perfect. I overlooked her, which I shouldn't have, because she was in the Bikini Football League.
It was the Laundry Football League.
Excuse me.
She was what in you, Bikini.
What? You don't fucking know. Yeah, she did that. I actually haven't seen like them play before.
Nah.
Do you know how like physical that league was? I have no idea.
I heard it was way more physical than it should have been for the pads they gave them.
Yeah, they were literally just wearing like football like shoulder pads
and bikinis
and panties. Like, that's what you got.
I'm just like I never wanted to watch it because like I'm just like I don't want to see hot chicks hit each other. That's not.
Those promotional pics were okay, but yeah, I didn't need to. It was all, like, pay-per-view, too. Like, it was, like...
It was.
Yeah,
it was, like... It wasn't quite adult entertainment, but...
It was on those channels.
They were pushing the line.
Yeah, they're
know?
Like, what can you get away with watching at your work party during the halftime with all the dudes without quite... You know, what can't... Like, yeah.
Yeah, some people like the Super Bowl, some people like the Puppy Bowl, some people like the Lingerie Bowl. It's just the way that it ended up being.
I liked her a lot. So you're watching NXT, right?
I'm watching NXT.
Have you seen her little run in there?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I'm becoming like a big fan of her.
Definitely didn't do so well on the main roster.
Honestly, I feel like she's still not with the WWE because of the backstage stuff. I've seen Total Divas, and it doesn't seem like the rest of the girls like her at all.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's really bad.
She's
like,
annoying. She's a brat.
They end up going to Mexico without her in one of the episodes. I felt so bad for her.
Oh, no. They wouldn't want her there. She burned all of her bridges. Natalia was driving Summer Rae to one of the events, and at one point... They get out of the car so Natalia can be.
Yeah,
her up in
like
the
there's
back
some
seat.
Real drama with Summer Rae with the girls so, back
there. She starts drama with.
She said not very popular. Well, back
and I say real, take it with a grain of salt. It's reality TV. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like based on what the way it's.
There's a reason they present it that way.
Yeah, I feel like there's some realistic things and some of it's embellished, you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if any of that's believed, that makes sense. I wasn't aware of that. She did have the little thing with Lana and Rusev and Ziggler, mm-hmm. and then I think the blame for that falling apart kind of goes on Lana.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just kidding. She announced that engagement. I mean, happy Rusev Day, everybody.
Yes, happy Rusev Day. Hashtag we want Lana. We're still in the thick of that. Currently, I'd say you're beating me because Rusev Day was huge at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, he was over.
Huge. I can't believe they made him come in like number one.
Yeah,
like, that was.
But if they wanted a good pop for the beginning, though, like he was a good, like it gave
he's a good number
it,
one.
It gave Aiden English a chance to come out and sing, and if you would have told me when Rusev was fighting Cena at Mania a few years back that I was gonna be a giant Rusev fan, I'd have told you were crazy.
Yeah, but, absolutely. I'm on the same.
And I never thought
Rusev is the greatest underachiever.
He is wildly over it.
I cannot tell you how much this guy reminds me of the Iron Sheik. Like he's less crazy. He's way less crazy.
He's got
the
same meme value though.
He does. Like I could see Rusev coming down with those giant like weights and just doing the thing because he does like insane like workout routines and stuff.
Really like outrageous on social media too, kind of the way the Iron Sheik is. He hasn't threatened to fuck anyone's ass and make a fumble yet. But I'm counting the moments between seconds on that one.
I want Rusev to go, I don't have time for this bullshit. I'm former WWF champion. Like I just want to hear him say that just one time.
Bullshit.
quick to the draw with that. Like yeah. It was wonderful. Currently, I'd say the most successful athlete to segue into pro wrestling is Naomi. Former Miami Heat dancer. I'd consider that being an athlete. Former women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's more successful than that. That was an athlete in pro wrestling up until this point.
That didn't wrestle first?
Yeah. That transition from...
Give me a minute. There's got to be someone.
I mean, I'm like, Alexa Bliss was a bodybuilder. We could count that maybe.
Yeah,
but...
If we're going to count...
bodybuilding.
If we're gonna count Miami Heat dance team, we probably gotta count bodybuilding too, don't we?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
then we'd be going with Carmella was the Lakers girl.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
But Carmella hasn't won the championship yet.
She's Money in the Bank.
That's not the same as far as I'm concerned.
You're right.
No, it's cool. I'll say it again.
I forgot. You're right.
Oh yeah, the twofer.
yes, Trebuchet likes to be told he's right.
I love it so much. It's one of my favorite things.
If he's ever having a bad day, just tweet him and just be like, Trebuchet, you're right. And
at
just
Trebuchet, LOL, it'll make my day. I'll retweet the shit out of that.
Yeah, free retweets to all of his followers.
If you're not gonna donate to my GoFundMe, at least tell me I'm right on social media. Come on, guys.
He might want that more than the NWA title. I'll be honest.
I don't know. I don't know.
He really likes being told he's right.
That's close.
So one of the more famous athlete involvements in wrestling and at the WrestleMania is Butterbean.
Oh, Butterbean, yeah.
And we gotta kind of
what was that? The Tough Man competition?
The Brawl for All.
Brawl for All, yeah. Oh man. Total snooze fest. Like
Like, not even, it was actually not, it wasn't fun to watch, but looking back at the insanity that happened, look at that bracket sometime.
No, dude,
people were moving on, they didn't win because people were tearing ligaments and shit.
It was ridiculous. It was pretty much like MMA before MMA became
They were like, all right, so we're going to have you guys shoot fight without training to shoot fight.
Yeah.
Like, you're training to be wrestlers, but we're going to have you, you know,
throw punches at each other.
And then, like, it was
so, like, the winner gets to fight Butterbean at WrestleMania?
So the winners are hurting each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes the winners are hurting themselves where they're not even winning anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because they were going to use it as a platform to push Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Yeah.
Who had just come in and was a legitimate bad dude.
Tough guy. He was a JR guy through and through. Like.
And he got hurt. I think he blew out his knee or something in this. He wasn't training to pro wrestle and training to have an MMA fight are very different.
It is. Like, you don't see the segue work successfully very well.
Not at a moment's notice like that. It's where they're working.
That is like, oh, hey, working pro next wrestling. Monday, guess what? You're going to be throwing fists at somebody.
Yeah. And like, and they weren't having fighters do. They're having, you know, the backstage tough guys. You're having your Dr. Death, your Branshaw, your, I guess, Steve Blackman was like martial arts
Blackman
training.
He belonged in there, I
guess. Yeah, he belonged in there, but my argument is that...
Was Shamrock in that bracket?
Yeah, so...
I think Ken Shamrock was in that bracket,
thing,
too.
Here's the thing, is that both Shamrock and Severin are in the bracket. They both just opt out. Shamrock won his match.
Yeah.
And just goes, give it to the loser because I don't want to do this.
Okay.
Because he had an MMA career. Yeah. If he takes an MMA loss in a pro wrestling ring in a worked shoot fight,
yeah,
it's going to kill his career because there's no point.
There's no payoff for him.
The money they were offering, I think it was like $500,000 or something, or $250,000, was real.
Really?
The guy who won got that money. It was legitimately a shoot. But they're like, Dr. Death Steve Williams can't lose, so it's safe to make it a shoot.
Mm.
And then Bart Gunn, Steve Williams blows out his knee, and Bart Gunn knocks him the fuck out.
Oh, I know, man. That was... Oh, that should have made the fucking injuries list last week. Oh, yeah, man, he knocked him the fuck out,
He took him down.
He did. It was barbaric. Like I said, I wasn't a big fan of it because it was a little bit too brutal for me. If y'all listened to the show last week, the Saturday show last week, you can see me squirm over all the injuries we go over.
Yeah, he's not good with that. But it's just interesting that they were trying to get this thing going where it was shoe fights and where they could push a guy in a shoot, and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to make these guys look tough, and that didn't work. It ended up Bart Gunn, probably one of two or three least popular guys in the bracket, wins.
Yeah.
You've lost a star over Steve Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
And now Bart Gunn, someone you have no intention of pushing, wins it. And you bring Butterbean in to smear him in 20 seconds at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Kill any star Bart Gunn has and pay Butterbean a bunch of money when he probably wasn't drawing. You know, he was like a weird, fascinating thing in the 90s, but he wasn't as big a star as I think.
No,
they
I don't.
Wanted him to be.
No, I don't think
You had
so
to
either.
Like boxing to know who Butterbean was.
Yeah.
He's a funny looking guy. Like, he's.
Yeah. You can see him knock Johnny Knoxville out in one of the Jackass movies.
Okay, yeah,
he does that. Yeah, he ends up fighting him in a shopping mall.
Yeah, he wasn't and, a boxer either.
I remember particularly, he lets Johnny Knoxville hit him. He goes, go ahead, get one in. He does it. He goes, oh, okay, there you go. And then just bam. You can just see his eyes are glazed over. Just knock the fuck out.
Yeah, so that was the thing with Butterbean. He's a big old 400-pound...
He's a huge guy.
Humanity.
He looked like a wrestler, but he threw punches like a boxer.
Yeah, so that was the thing. That was why he's good at boxing. He just throw knockout punches all day. But the problem is he was a big old fat guy.
Yeah, and he couldn't go very long.
Yeah, if you could last till round three with
him,
you could win because he'd have no steam behind to throw those punches anymore. Like,
would get low and you could pop him.
It was this way. He wasn't very successful.
Stamina.
He could kill you in one. If he caught you a few times around one and two, you were done.
Yep.
Anybody that was a good, there's a reason they call that sport boxing and not punching because it's a lot more than hitting people. And anybody that was any good at boxing could beat him just because. He had no cardio.
There you go.
But yeah, I think Jim Cornette talks about how much money that Brawl for All contest
cost the WWE.
I read
that would be something interesting to see.
He expresses it as close to about $1 million.
I believe
between
that.
Steve Blackman or Steve Williams' contract,
yep.
which was a ton of money,
yep.
who is now injured, and you're not going to do anything with post that because they, you don't think he can come back from looking like a wimp to Bart Gunn.
Right.
So you lose his contract money.
Mm-hmm.
You
lose the money to Bart Gunn.
Yeah, Bart Gunn gets the money.
You got to pay him.
You got to pay him. And then you're paying him what you're already paying him, so he's like getting double pay. And then
Butterbean,
you're paying Butterbean, someone no one really wants to see in the first place. Then you're killing Bart Gunn's star with Butterbean, so any money you could have made with Bart Gunn is now gone.
Gee, just flush it down. And then
you've got, a couple injuries. I think Savio Vega got hurt.
I don't know if he ever recovered from
that. No, he didn't.
Really.
I think that actually was the end of his career. I think he lost in Brawl for All. I think he was released.
He was an up and comer, but that was it. I remember that.
Did Branshaw get hurt in there?
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody got hurt in this thing. More
people came out of it hurt than anything else.
It was not.
I know Steve Blackman, I think, like, broke his leg or something.
Yeah.
Like, he had something pretty kind of grisly happen.
For all these injuries to happen and for it to be not entertaining to the what WWF fans at the time were expecting, it was
They
really
lost a bunch of money on something that actually lost viewers, too. Like, when you look at the ratings.
That's what I'm saying. It was a snooze fest, unfortunately. I flipped to WCW. I'm like, what are they doing? They got the fucking Brawl for All or whatever.
And then, it's not the Brawl for All. It's called the Brawl for All.
Okay.
TNA's been doing that, like, point-based stuff.
Have they? I've not.
Yeah,
been watching
I don't know if they're still doing it. Last I checked, they had that, they called it the Grand Championship or something. That's like three rounds, and you count like takedowns or something, and then you get points, and it's like
gross.
Wrestling.
You're trying to make it like amateur wrestling.
Yeah, pro wrestling fans don't want to see that. It has never worked. It's not gonna work.
It's not gonna work now.
The closest thing we want to a UFC match in WWE is takedowns are good. Run at a guy, taking him down, and throwing some shots at his head. Ground and pound is fine.
Yep.
But no, we don't want to watch a guy in a clinch for 3 minutes where he's, throwing a few punches at him, wearing him down. Good UFC fighting and good boxing is good if that's what you like. It makes for crappy pro wrestling.
Bad pro wrestling,
because the
yeah.
pacing is terrible.
It is, yeah. We will like suplexes and throws and
yeah,
slams.
Yeah, and you can plan
the
out...
high flying
You can
stuff.
Plan out the pace to that.
And the pomp and circumstance,
yeah.
you know? Like, it's a show. We want to see all that.
And I feel like Brock Lesnar's done a great job of mixing
Lesnar's been
mixing
a really good hybrid athlete.
He does...
I think the amateur background helps him, really.
I think being in the WWE before he went to MMA helped because he knows how to do the MMA stuff in a WWE style.
Exactly.
And I think Ronda Rousey will learn to do that.
I do too. That's why I say she's got the highest ceiling for these athletes in wrestling up to this point.
I think she can do whatever Brock Lesnar's done for the females. The difference is Brock Lesnar's there for a paycheck. Ronda Rousey wants to be wrestling, and that makes her infinitely more valuable.
Very interesting going in here. All right, guys, do you have any more before we talk about the last person here?
When the Refrigerator Perry is in
the fridge.
Yeah, he had that match with Bam Bam Bigelow.
Was that at Mania?
It was at Mania.
Was
at Mania. I think it was actually a main event.
Was it? Okay.
I want to say it was WrestleMania 8.
I heard it was a pretty good match.
It wasn't Bam Bam's a good wrestler, but it wasn't the most...
I would like to see him in the Hall of Fame. Based
I think
on
we mentioned that
we did.
He definitely deserves it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he passed like 15 years ago.
Did he?
A few days back, Shane Douglas and Lance Storm were both talking about it a lot on Twitter.
Okay,
sounds like Bam Bam's pretty fondly remembered
That's
amongst
good.
His
That's
his
good.
Peers.
Cool. But yeah, the fridge.
Who was the guy that was doing all the cocaine in the 80s?
Everybody.
Hold on. He was the renowned guy. He broke Joe Theismann's leg. I can't think of his name. Why am I... he was like the NFL bad boy, and he made an appearance in wrestling. Why am I missing
crap,
this?
Crap. I don't know. I would look it up on my phone, but we're recording on my phone. So.
That's fair.
Tweet it at us, guys. Tweet it at us.
As soon as we stop talking about it, I'm going to remember
it. All right, if you remember it sometime during the show, time, just shout it out.
It's going to bother the shit out of me.
All right, guys. The last guy I want to talk about...
Lawrence Taylor.
There we go. I knew he was going to get it.
Yeah.
Wait, just try to move on. He's going to...
No, I'm not going to let you. I actually knew the whole time. I just wanted to hold the show
That's fair. That's fine. Ransom.
Do you remember what Lawrence Taylor didn't wrestle. He did. He was at a Mania or something in like the height of his.
I feel like he did like a run in, but he didn't do much. He may have tackled somebody.
Yeah.
Did like a three point. I remember the 3-point stance and then him coming up, but I don't remember.
It might even have been an over the top rope thing.
Where you like a battle royal?
Yeah,
it may have been a battle royal.
Come to think of that, he might have won a battle royal. Yeah. It's interesting how WWE at the time, they don't do it as much anymore because they're more family friendly product. But with the Tysons and the Lawrence Taylors, these guys are like at the height of mainstream importance because they're kind of seen as like troublemakers in society.
Yeah.
And Vince was like, they're as bad as they come. We're going to put them in wrestling because we're the baddest guys. We're going to take the baddest guys from
culture. Cash, you know? Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah. Glad you thought of it, Chad. I didn't want it to bother you. I would have been texting you later. I'm like, I got it. last guy I want to talk about, Steve Mongo McMichael. Former member of the Four Horsemen, former Chicago Bear. And then he went into commentary, too, which is the second part of our show, which we're going to segue into pretty soon.
I wasn't a giant fan of his commentary. I thought he was a great crossover. I mean, one of the better announcers. I mean, so here's the thing. At the time, you had Jerry Lawler and JR on Raw.
On Raw, yeah. I believe the announced team on WCW was like Tony Schiavone in the middle, Tene, and then Larry Zbysko, and then they bring in Bobby Heenan like for the second hour.
Yeah,
or something.
They would
alternate Tene and Heenan
for some reason.
Mongo ended up on that team during one point.
Yeah, Bischoff would sometimes be there. Their commentary team was weird.
It was. I always liked Tene and Heenan, and the fact that they alternated them pissed me off so much.
Heenan is great on the mic.
Heenan's
no matter what
the best manager ever. Like if we'll have a manager show eventually and just talk about him like for hours.
Yeah,
because I can.
but I just found it was hard for WCW's commentary to stand up to what WWF had going on at the time, just because JR and the King were just my favorite commentators.
Yeah, well, WCW actually had Bischoff doing commentary, too, and Bischoff has never been good.
No, and he's also, so at a certain point, for a while, he's just doing commentary, and then he's doing commentary, like, putting the NWA and himself over, and that's not where, Bischoff's a great character. He's not likable, and I find that commentary can have heels.
Yeah.
But they need to be you never want to have to turn your TV down because you don't want to listen to that.
Exactly.
And that was, I used to have that problem. So Bischoff was like that. Coachman used to be like that.
Coach is hit or miss.
Welcome back, Coach, by the way.
Yeah,
no, I'm happy he's back. I think he's actually going to do really well now. But back when they first put him on the commentary team, when it was the 3-man bench with Ross and King, and they put Coach on there.
Coach
would kind of do that. He would just, it felt like kind of self-promotion about a character you didn't have to care about.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just shut up. Like,
it didn't work, yeah.
But
I want to go back to Mongo really quick before we get too much into commentators, because he started at commentary, I think, and then he emerged and became kind of a good wrestler. He would bring Deborah out with him, and they made great TV.
Yeah.
With it. I was a big fan of the Horsemen, like, just all day. The Horsemen I remember particularly were Ric Flair, Steve Mongo McMichael, Chris Benoit, and Dean Malenko.
Okay, the very WCW.
Yes. The 90s WCW ones. Arn Anderson was their enforcer. He was JJ Dillon from the 70s. And I loved it. I believe some of the highest ratings WCW ever got was when Ric Flair came back.
No, that sounds right.
And then they just fucking buried him again. Come on.
The Four Horsemen were pretty popular when they came back in the 90s because you still had that Southern audience that remembered the Horsemen of old.
All the War Games back in the day.
They just fed him to the NWO right away.
I couldn't believe it because they could have did that for years.
Those were upcoming stars too. I mean, I wasn't a huge Mongo fan. But with Malenko and Benoit and Flair together?
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying.
And then Arn Anderson. I've liked Arn Anderson in a manager role for a while, which he didn't really do a lot of.
Right.
I think
he was good at it.
I thought he was really good.
Because he could still cut a promo
He could still cut a promo.
He means business, dude.
And he was tough, but he didn't steal the scene.
Right.
Like, if he was at ringside, you go, all right, that's Arn Anderson at ringside. And he could easily, get involved in this match and do something, but he's not taking away from the action.
Right.
And then all he's got to do to interfere in the match is the referee's distracted. Arn Anderson gives him a big old spine buster. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually came back at WrestleMania 18 and tried to take out The Undertaker.
Yeah, no, I'm going through that right now where Ric Flair is like the owner of Raw and Arn Anderson's like his confidant.
Right,
where,
right.
Ric Flair have a problem, and he'll talk to Arn Anderson.
Exactly.
I think Arn Anderson was one of like the agents at the time. He probably still is.
Yeah, I think he still works backstage for the WWE. Don't quote me on that.
He may have retired, but I don't know. He's definitely at that age, but he might not.
Huge Arn Anderson fan, just love it.
Yeah, me as well.
But all right, yeah, let's talk about commentators, guys. You brought him up already, JR and the King.
My favorites
of all time. Like the chemistry there. They had a run for like 4 or 5 years or something.
Well, they were together, and then King got into that controversy with the WWF and left.
Did he?
And then they brought in Heyman. And JR and Heyman had some good chemistry, too.
Yeah.
And then Heyman started doing the Alliance thing, and they brought King back. Are you familiar with that situation?
Yeah.
With the Cat?
Oh, yeah. He got...
They basically...
The Cat got let go, and King went with her, essentially.
King and Stacy Carter, I think her name was.
Yeah. Bam. Yeah. Good. They were, bravo. He got a real name.
Yeah.
Man.
I am a dork.
But you're our dork,
that's,
Chad.
That's fair. After I won the competition of the day, they put my name on there, and someone goes like, "Wow, Showtime Schultz looked like a giant nerd." And I was just like, "The giantest."
I'm surprised you didn't go, wait for it, nerd!
Hi, Jason Jordan. I hope you're feeling better. Basically King was like, "Hey, it's, you know, you fire her, you fire me," and he went on the power play, and I didn't think he expected them to go,
"Say, okay, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Real sorry to see you go, Jerry." And then, you know, they got divorced because Jerry the King Lawler. And
that's what he does, yeah.
Yeah.
No, funny thing about Jerry Lawler, hasn't touched alcohol ever in his life. Never done that. Never done drugs or alcohol. Addicted to sugar, like Cokes and Twinkies, and women.
And women, yeah.
Obviously, women are his vice. Like, but yeah, I've been watching Legends of Wrestling on the WWE Network, and like they drop that. I'm like, I never would have thought that Jerry the King Lawler was a straight edge like guy.
Yeah, he doesn't wear that. Like, is something he like?
Well, he's so goofy and like over the top. I don't know.
Seems like a party guy.
Yeah, he just kind of seems that way.
He's one
great
of
the artists. Like the dude can draw.
Yeah, that's how
like
he got to start in the business.
Yeah,
was I believe Jim Crockett didn't take cameras to some of the shows.
Okay.
Like the house shows, but like important, especially in the territory days, important things would happen on those house shows.
Yeah.
They were much more relevant than they are today. And Jerry Lawler would illustrate what happened and would just send them to Jim Crockett.
Yeah.
And it's just something to do. And he hired him to start doing it. And they're like, "Oh, this guy can talk." Mm-hmm. And he started wrestling down in Memphis.
Yeah. And King became a huge star, man, like down in Memphis. And Andy Kaufman stuff.
Forget Elvis. Jerry the King Lawler is the king of Memphis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, he's Memphis's favorite living son right now.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
He's the king. Like it's like taking Ric Flair to Charlotte, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's Flair country.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny to like go back and listen to like Jerry Lawler of old versus Jerry Lawler today, because he definitely had to like clean up his material.
He did, because like he was the old perverted guy.
Yeah,
puppies,
puppies everywhere. Well, JR with all those curves and me with no brakes.
Right. Well, even like his older stuff, like I remember his battle with the Hart family, like in WWF. Like he would talk about Stu Hart and his wife Helen in like the worst way.
Yeah.
Just like call about every single Hart. Just it's some really like
he
wasn't afraid to pull punches to throw them, you know what I mean?
He had that the Southern Heat thing where he wasn't afraid to make him riot and things weren't out of bounds. And
the thing with Lawler, his wrestling matches weren't particularly good. Like he would drop fists, he'd have the pile driver. Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, he had some of the best punches in the business, though.
They're good. I love the old uppercut that he does.
Yeah, well, that's like, he knew how to. He never hurt anybody with his punches.
Right.
But they just look so good and people sold them so well.
Yeah.
He's considered one of the
best. But what I'm saying is nobody's going to go, "You got to see this Jerry Lawler classic." Like, you're not going to see, like, you know, the wrestling clinics. You're going to see Jerry Lawler on David Letterman slapping the shit out of Andy Kaufman. You're going to see,
I think Jerry Lawler holds one of the 5-star matches on The Observer.
Really? Which match?
I think Lawler Funk.
Lawler, Terry Funk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Lawler Funk is one of the
first. Is it an NWA match?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know,
I'll check it out, but like, based on what I've heard, Lawler's never been great. Like, he's been good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love Jerry Lawler.
Here's the thing. Those are all, like, really psychology driven, though. You're absolutely right. He wasn't hitting high spots like crazy. He was a character, and he knew how to make the audience feel things. He wasn't hitting 450 splashes by any means.
Right. He's not going to fly off the top rope or anything like that, but he's going to say something to get you in the seat.
Yeah, he was great at getting heat. He had some...
And then the fans would leave happy after they saw a Waller match, too, you know?
Yeah, because, well, they got to see, you know, him. One of my favorite moments with him is he does... It might have been in that match, or he had, like, an empty arena match with Terry Funk, where basically something gets knocked into Terry Funk's eye and, like, blinds Terry Funk, and he goes over to Japan and wrestles, and, like, that explains his absence.
Yeah.
But he does something to his eye, and you can just hear Terry Funk going, "My eye, Gordon! My goddamn eye!"
Oh, like, my God.
Oh, I love Terry Funk. One of the more animated wrestlers without being, like, silly.
I cannot believe how nice he is. Like,
I bet he's the nicest, just the old, nicest old man.
If there's a wrestler's brain to pick, it's Terry Funk.
Cause, he seemed like he'd be happy to just sit and tell you about it.
Like, I've recently been watching the history of, I think it was the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
And they talked about how Terry Funk won it. And then he goes, how did you feel? He goes, I felt kind of bad about it. And they're like, why? Well, because... If you watch the match, right after the three count, Terry Funk reaches back and he goes, bam! He goes, oh, I hit something hard. Busts the referee's nose wide open and just, like, blood everywhere. Yeah. So he's like, it wasn't really a happy moment. He just felt really bad for, like, breaking this guy's nose. It was just in the way, unfortunately, you know? Just one of those things.
He was just like a nice old guy that was
every
just tough as
time
nails
I
in the ring.
Hear him talk, anything, I'm drawn in. I'm like, I just want to hear what he has to say.
He had that classic, I think it was in ECW, or it's maybe in Japan, but he and Cactus Jack are fighting. Cactus Jack wraps a towel on the chair.
I think that was in Japan.
Lights it on fire, and swings it, not thinking that the tape it's on there is going to melt. Yeah. Basically, the burning towel winds up on Terry Funk's back.
Yeah, and it's Funk, stuck there.
Yeah, Funk just goes crazy and starts cussing out Cactus Jack and, like, you know, hitting him. And, I guess he, like, apologizes to me. He goes, I was a fool, Mick. I was a damn fool. I gotta work on my Terry Funk.
Yeah, you do. I'm like, oh, that was a little rough. That's cool. We're forgiven.
but it just... he seems like a nice guy, and, did he ever give commentary?
I don't think he has. He should. He should be. I bet
he doesn't have that like forceful of a voice though. Unless he's like yelling, he is like really soft spoken.
He is. He really is. Even back in the day.
Yeah. Unless he was yelling at you, he didn't. He had that real soft voice. Maybe that wouldn't lend itself well to commentary. Yeah.
Fun fact about Terry Funk. Him and Dory Funk are the only brothers to hold a major title like that, the NWA Championship. Only brothers to do it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Did Von Erichs not do it?
I don't think so, no. Based on the documentary I just watched, they were the only two.
Interesting. Or Kerry held it at least once. I'm not sure if both of them did.
Okay.
Or I guess not.
Just ask Michael Hayes. I'm sure he'll tell you.
You know, I'm sure he'd tell me all about the Von Erich days.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Trying to dodge those knees.
Yeah. But let's talk about JR a little bit here, because we hit on the King pretty hard here. Jim Ross, one of my favorites of all time.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Like, I don't know, like, he's a wrestling historian. Like, JR just knows so much. Like... even back before, like, he was even alive, I'm sure, like...
He's a historian, and it's interesting, because he didn't really... He started as an announcer, but he...
No, he started as a referee.
Was he referee?
He was a referee.
I thought he was announcing for his referee.
Started as a referee.
Huh.
Yeah.
But he always was involved backstage.
Yeah.
He was always in creative, or, like, talent relations or like a confidant or something, and he just took good notes on those situations and just learned so much.
He is just like, he seems like a big wrestling nerd who is in the industry. Like, it's the thing he loves the most, and it comes out in his commentary, you know?
I know a lot of guys credit him also for when in the 90s when he was, you know, running creative and like talent relations both. Like, he had a big hand in both.
I hear he brought guys in like Foley.
Yeah, he
Austin,
was bringing in. He was
like,
bringing in guys.
All
was,
the guys
was,
that
he was
are like,
easy to work with. Mm-hmm. They said that like when he backed off a little bit in like the early 2000s when he started to take a little bit.
Still, the Bell's palsy stuff.
The Bell's palsy happened in like the late 90s.
Yeah.
But he was still like involved back. I think he actually took a little bit of a break from commentary. He was doing more backstage. Yeah. Like in the early 2000s, he started to do more commentary and like take it. He's still involved backstage, but he wasn't, like, the head of everything. For a while, he was next to Vince McMahon. Jim Ross was probably the most powerful person in the WWE.
I believe that. Yes, absolutely.
And then when he took a step back, a lot of people say that the company got a lot harder to work in after that.
I can believe that.
That Jim Ross knew how to run a business, and he knew how to deal with wrestlers.
Yes.
And he could combine them.
Absolutely.
The problem is, with a lot of those guys, they can handle wrestling or they can handle business. They can't really handle both, and Jim Ross could do both.
Absolutely.
But as an announcer, he added so much legitimacy to everything.
Yeah.
It felt like he cared about what was happening. Mm-hmm. He was never bored.
No, absolutely
he
not.
He was morally offended when he needed to be.
And absolutely. And the King would argue with each other about something that's not wrestling related. And I usually hate that.
Yeah.
But you could just see that they had that chemistry where, like, you know, like, it was important to them that they bury this before they get back to the match at hand.
Yeah, or, like, it just how Jim Ross was, like, a nice old guy from the South that was a little bit bothered by what...
But they accented each other about, like, JR was the voice of reason, where King was, like, the
and
silly,
Jim Ross
little
knew,
edgy, but, like,
Jim
still...
Jim Ross would write him off, you know, I remember...
He'd reel in the King when he needed to,
well,
you know?
Christian, it was the Christian Jericho, Trish Stratus triangle at WrestleMania.
Around WrestleMania 20.
20, Where, you know, he says something to the effect of, like, she's saying, she broke my heart, so I broke her jaw, or, you know, something pretty tasteless, and, you know, Jared's just like, will you stop? Like, would you scold him like he was a child.
Absolutely.
They had such great chemistry, and I miss tuning into Raw every week and hearing, good evening, everybody, and, you know, thank you for welcoming us into your home for, you know, this Monday night. You know, that was...
I'm good old JR, along with Jerry the King Lawler,
it
you know?
It felt special.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you got excited about it. You knew you were about to have a good time.
I didn't love the way the company treated him, or the industry in general treated him. I feel like he deserved better than
JR is very open with the fact that he's been fired more times from pro wrestling than any other man. He's very adamant about that. He's not afraid to go out on a limb and get fired.
I just felt like, you know, Vince didn't treat him that great. You know, the whole Oklahoma thing was pretty rough.
Yeah.
You remember the, who was it that did that? It was Vince Russo's idea. But
WCW talking about? Shame on them for doing that.
Ed Ferrara.
The most fucking tasteless thing I've seen, like, in wrestling. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Like, to make fun of a man for getting sick is fucking terrible.
Getting sick and costing him his career.
Like come on,
the
Bell's
palsy almost took his career from...
And life. Like, I don't know if he...
I had a case of Bell's palsy. Usually it doesn't last forever.
Okay.
Jim Ross had it pretty badly.
I know. Like,
to where, like,
it
permanently,
half of his face.
Permanently affected him. But Bell's palsy is the paralysis of one side of your face.
Okay.
But most of the time it goes away in a few weeks.
Yeah.
He must have had it about as extreme as you can get it to where he never gained permanent feeling back. It was a bad time. You know, your eyelid droops, your face, your mouth droops. You can't taste food.
Your
tongue
horrible.
is only
you're
like
paralyzed.
Half.
Yeah,
food doesn't taste like anything. You can bite your tongue on accident.
Oh,
you,
man.
It's a really rough time. I actually, my eyelid was drooping one time, and I realized I was slurring my words a little bit, and my parents took me to the emergency room. I was probably like 15. And they're like, the doctor says, you've got Bell's palsy. And the only person I knew that had Bell's palsy was Jim Ross.
Good old JR.
And all I could think was my face was going to be that way forever.
Yeah.
Because his was. I literally went into shock. I was sitting on a gurney, and I kind of went back, and the doctor, like, put his arm around me and goes, why don't you lean back? Like, you went into shock there. I was like, I was afraid I would never get feeling back in my face.
Oh my god. Because
that's what he had.
Scary as hell, man.
Yeah, but it's not fun, but apparently it's not usually a permanent thing.
Okay.
I just found it that they making fun of that.
That was.
For someone that had done so much for the industry.
He worked for that company.
Yeah.
Like, and gave it all he had. Like, I was just, I'm so disgusted with this. Like, this moment in wrestling is disgusting to me.
Yeah, you guys hear me praise Jim Cornette a lot on the show, and Ed Ferrara, the guy that played Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like Jim Ross made his peace with him, which sounds like a Jim Ross thing to do. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He seems like he's able to look past
let things go, but
understand the business aspect.
Jim Cornette hocked a big old loogie in his face, and so you're a piece of shit for doing that to Jim Ross, and
Oh yeah, I feel the same fucking way. That hurt my feelings. It really did.
It wasn't okay. I just feel like Jim Ross caught more of that than most people in the industry do.
Yeah,
and he was deserving of none of it.
Absolutely. But, let's segue into another one of my favorites, Joey Styles.
I was just thinking that.
Yes. The voice of ECW.
The first man to call a solo wrestling pay-per-view in history. Maybe the only man, actually.
Awesome at it. And it wasn't just one. He's done a couple
of them. He did most of them by himself, or at least half. But, he might be the only person to ever have done that.
Oh, my God!
That's right.
That's his moniker right there, everybody.
He made it all feel real.
Oh, my God. Like, if you're going to see a hardcore match, I want Joey Styles to call it. Like that's the guy in an extreme environment that just knows how to call it. You know what I mean?
He had the inflection and the character of a color man.
Yeah.
And he had the knowledge of a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
I don't know too many people that can call moves as well as he does. He knows, all the American moves, but he's calling, Japanese moves by their names.
I like to think I'm pretty good at it, but I would not even be. I'm not even in Joey Styles.
Yeah, and like that, you just know he put his homework in on that. That took work. He had to study.
Absolutely.
But, ECW One Night Stand, the first one.
Loved it.
He and Mick Foley are on commentary.
I believe Joey Styles said it was like one of the proudest moments of his career.
Yeah,
like,
he said some of the effect of, like, besides like his children being born, is like the happiest night of his life.
Yeah. It was really, really awesome.
But Mick Foley and he are on commentary, and they had like a Japanese 3-way dance. And Mick Foley goes,
it was like, Mike Awesome.
No, this was Tajiri. No, it was international. So it was Tajiri Super Crazy.
Super Crazy.
And,
was it one of the BWO guys?
No, it was Mikey Whipwreck. Tajiri was at ringside, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then basically Mick Foley says, I'm not going to know these moves, and I think he said the same thing or something. He said it during the Psychosis Arena Studio match.
Yeah.
But at some point that night, he just basically says, Joey, you're going to know these moves better than I am. I'm just going to watch.
I'm going to sit back and enjoy this.
You call the moves because what they are and I don't.
Now, I remember at one point he goes, Joey, can I call that?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Enziguri!
That's right.
Loved it, yeah. Mick Foley was great. Didn't do a lot of commentary either, but he probably could have if he wanted to.
He was a little too much of a ham to do commentary. He took a little too much attention on himself. I don't think that's a knock on him as a performer. Either. He just attracted too much attention, I think,
that's fair.
The commentary booth. He did commentary for a while on SmackDown.
Oh, I do remember that. He had a short run. I actually saw SmackDown that he did.
I didn't care for my commentary, and it turns out he didn't like doing commentary much at all either, because he doesn't like Vince McMahon yelling at him.
That's
all that happens when you do commentary.
Vince McMahon just
screaming at you.
Yeah, because I hear that's the way they do it like that. WCW wasn't like that. You had a lot more leeway to say what
Vince
you wanted.
Vince McMahon's in your ear, and he's not always,
Vince McMahon was a commentator.
I just hear he's not always very nice about it either, and it would hurt Mick Foley's feelings. I guess
Mick's kind of a sensitive guy. A guy who plays Santa Claus in his free time.
He said fuck a couple times to Mick in his ear, and
he doesn't like that.
Yeah,
he
apologized. It sounds like Vince McMahon apologized the first time.
Yeah,
I think he tells the story like he calls him and like, I hear we had a little problem the other day, buddy. I was wrong.
That sounds like Vince McMahon apology.
Vince McMahon apologized.
Sorry about that.
But then he like did it again like in 2 weeks later, and Mick was like, I don't want to do this. Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But you're a Vince McMahon commentator.
Vince McMahon, yeah.
He's not my favorite. He's good.
He was alright, but it wasn't great.
If he didn't do anything but commentate, he might be looked at differently, but because he went on to be so much more and something so dramatically different from the mild-mannered...
For his character, yeah, he was, to develop was, yeah. Holy crap. Because back in the 70s, 80s, he'd just ask Andre questions, he'd do play-by-play stuff like that.
He did good work with Heenan, he did good work with Gorilla.
He didn't really become Vince McMahon until the Bret Hart stuff.
Yeah.
It got to the point where Bret would come out, and I remember one event particularly, Bret came out from the back and was yelling at Vince, during the show.
It wasn't open knowledge that Vince was in charge of the company.
Right.
Vince was just a play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Who was president?
There was Gorilla? Gorilla
was the president. It wasn't the president. He had the authority role for a while.
Okay.
There's another guy. But Gorilla looked at as the authority role, especially I think when he stopped doing commentary.
Yeah, no, Gorilla was getting
a little up there, didn't talk as well as he used to. He did the commentary because he stopped doing that when Vader killed him.
Oh yeah,
because basically Vader is attacking people. I think he attacked a ref after a match, and Gorilla comes out. And, Gorilla Monsoon, he gets right in his face, and I think Vader pushes him, and then, Gorilla, knocks him on his butt.
Yeah.
And, the fans pop for that, and then Vader gets up and just, kills
destroys him. Yeah.
Boy. I think it was the last time Gorilla was ever seen on WWF TV.
Yeah.
But
he was a great commentator. I loved Gorilla.
I hear English wasn't his native language either.
Really?
Or maybe it was his native language, and he just had a really thick accent. But he didn't speak English well when he came in.
That's fair. He's got the classic line, the irresistible force meets the immovable object. That is Gorilla Monsoon right there. And his counterpart in the booth was Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota. And that stuff draws me into 80s wrestling.
Jesse Ventura is if you're not looking at necessarily... the biggest stars, but the biggest personalities. Jesse Ventura is 80s wrestling.
Jesse Ventura
is still an 80s wrestler. He's still living in the 80s.
Oh, I believe that, yeah.
I hear he's a real dick.
Is he?
Yeah,
I can see that.
I hear he's very not a nice guy.
Opinionated, yeah.
I feel like if you approach him and said, hey, Jesse, will you tell me what you think about this? He'd be more than happy to do it.
Yeah.
But if you try to converse with him on any level further than that, he's just as arrogant as you could.
I feel like that's all politicians, though.
That's fair. He's probably cut out for it.
Which is why people like Jerry Lawler didn't become mayor, and people like Rhino didn't become senator or whatever.
I thought Jerry did become mayor.
No, he finished third.
Oh, did he?
Finished third. He was scared he was going to win.
Yeah, okay. I thought he won, but Rhino ran for governor. Kane ran for mayor of that place. Or something.
Yeah, Kane recently did.
He didn't have a chance. Kane ran libertarian.
Oh, okay.
Kane's a giant libertarian. He's a really, really big libertarian.
Yeah.
7 foot tall, even.
Both figuratively and literally.
No, he's people always say that Kane is the smartest guy they've ever met.
I believe he was an English teacher before he became a wrestler.
Yeah, they say he's a genius, and it's just
which
weird.
Is interesting because his original character didn't speak.
Yeah.
At all.
They say it's just really weird. He's this big giant monster who's actually just a gentle giant who's just really intelligent. Yeah.
Look at corporate Kane. That stuff was awesome.
He's always been a big supporter of the libertarian movement, basically since he was allowed to share those views.
Yeah,
he's been big in that. But I really liked Gorilla Monsoon stuff with Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan, and he just knows how to talk me into anything. I don't know what it is about Bobby Heenan.
Those two had just such great chemistry. And, Bobby Heenan had those great lines, and just Jerry, Jerry would reel the king in, Gorilla would reel in
Bobby,
Just Bobby had those great lines, and
he would just not, he's very similar to the king. They would just be ruthless sometimes.
I would call the king, I don't know if he's as good as Bobby was at commentary, but he's that the 90s, 2000s version of that,
Bobby Heenan,
where he
absolutely.
Was saying, funny things that were, probably too out of line, and someone had to pull him back for a minute.
Yeah. With Heenan, it was great because he managed a lot of the guys, you know what I mean? So, he would have, these personal vendettas against, Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? And he would talk, like, conspiracies against Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And girls like, well, you're just being ridiculous now. Like,
it's, yeah, it's, no, he would, because he would just, yeah, he would just make stuff up. And,
yeah. The humanoids, that's a Bobby Heenan thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I use it to this day. Like,
I've heard you bust that out.
Oh, yeah, well, I do stand up comedy, and there's a couple of humanoids out there, let me tell you.
One of my favorites is with the barbershop with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
And they're talking about breaking up, and Shawn Michaels gives Jannetty a hug, and, you know, I told you, Gorilla. One's no good without the other. Super kick. I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he throws him through the window. Marty was trying to run away, jump through the window to get away from Shawn.
Classic.
When, like, a wrestler would, like, choke someone in the ring, and Pete would be like, my monitor went out. What's going on, Gorilla? Like, he'd, like, ask him what was...
I can't see. What's going on here? Hello, can you hear me? My headset got knocked off. Like,
yeah,
classic stuff.
One of my... He actually... Bobby Heenan had one of my favorite Hall of Fame induction speeches. If you go back and watch it, it's...
You'll laugh and you'll cry. Yeah, I love Bobby Heenan. But
calling him a weasel and...
Oh, yeah. Well, a big draw for Bobby Heenan was the weasel match back in the day. They would do maybe one a year and basically dress him up in a weasel suit and fucking make him wrestle, like, one of the faces. And
That was back when you get your hands on the manager. They had the... If your tag team loses the match, the other team gets five minutes alone in a cage or something.
Classic. But since we're listening, or we're being the Undisputed Podcast starring Brooke the Bruiser, and also Trebuchet and Chad Showtime Schultz, Bruiser, you brought this up before the show, CM Punk as a commentator.
Yeah, I should preface this by saying that I only put him on the list because there was a blank spot.
No, it's fair, but it fits, though.
I really liked CM Punk as a commentator. Yeah, that little beautiful voice.
But you were talking about one event in particular, weren't you?
It was the... I can't remember if it was... I'm new at this. We're going to always use that as an excuse, but yeah, I can't remember if it was the time that the... They were boycotting Raw.
He did do the commentary that night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, like, which I thought was really weird, considering, like, wasn't his whole thing fight the man?
Yeah.
And then he was just like...
His thing was, is he didn't want to be part of the movement with the rest of the roster.
That's CM Punk.
He was like, I don't want to be... I want to do what I do on my terms.
I do my own thing.
Yeah, and the fans are still here, so I want to give them a show. But, yeah, so the deal was, is there was...
Was that the one where Triple H said he was going to wrestle the entire night?
Because John Cena, Triple H, and CM Punk are the only people left on the roster.
It was just such a weird, like...
I was drawing it, and I'm like, what is going on?
Because CM Punk comes down, and he's like, well, CM Punk, you do commentary. And he's CM Punk's like, can I wear your blazer? And Triple H's like, yeah, he takes off his blazer. And CM Punk puts it on. He's not wearing any pants, because they never let CM Punk wear pants for some reason.
I don't feel like he likes wearing pants.
He would wear his t-shirt, and he's like in his trunks, and he's wearing Triple H's blazer that's a billion sizes too big for him. And Triple H is like, hey, I'm going to bring a broom out here and wrestle it, and I'll give a better match than half the roster anyway, because he's Triple H and has to say things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Cena comes out, and they're like going to have like Cena and Triple H wrestle on Raw. Triple H goes, Punk, will you ring the bell, please?
Yeah.
Punk goes, double pay? He goes, yeah, you can have double pay.
It was great. But no, CM Punk, I believe after that, he ends up in the booth, or in the commentator's table.
He hurt himself somehow. But he was injured, and they wanted him still on TV, and he did commentary for a few months.
It was good.
I feel like he did really, really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Tenay and Don West, TNA Classic. They worked well together.
Thought they were a good team.
They were a good team.
Definitely not my favorites.
Not my favorites, but I've always liked Mike Tenay. Like, to hear Mike Tenay call a Lucha Libre match is excellent to me.
He is good at that. He pulled those X Division matches off well.
Don West gets a really bad rap because he's pretty much a glorified salesman.
Yeah.
Is what Don West is. He's trying to move product regardless. And as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of what pro wrestling is like anyways.
Yeah, so I didn't mind Don West at the beginning when he was just there with Mike Tenay. He wasn't doing a lot. At a certain point, they tried to turn him into, like, super heel, though. And
I didn't care for that.
That was obnoxious.
That was too much.
He was like, when Don West is there, you know, bringing up his, to be honest, he's probably sitting there with a laptop looking things up to talk about.
Probably.
See, I don't know how big of a fan
Yeah, I don't know really
how much
is.
He knew about the business more than he was just a salesman. But he was kind of the color guy, and he would just bring, you know, stuff up and push the storylines where it needed to be, and it felt like he did fine at that. Nothing to write home about. Certainly wasn't the worst I've ever heard.
Right.
But when they were like, Don West is the giant heel, like, that was, just like, stop talking. Like, you never, you want your commentary team to, you can have a heel on it, and you can have them cheer for the bad guys and make excuses for them and kind of, you know, poo-poo the good guys when, you know, no one else will. It was another thing when they'd spend the entire match putting themselves over or just, like, bickering with the other commentators. Because, like we've discussed, where the other commentators would bicker. They'd bicker for, like, 30 seconds.
And then it would be funny. Yeah, yeah.
They would. It wasn't over-the-top funny. It wasn't, like, distracting. They'd say something humorous, and you go, ha-ha, and then you go back to watching the match.
Right.
What they kind of see today, and with that, is, like, they spend the entire match arguing with each other, and you realize you haven't listened to anything about the match after it ends.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
They had Josh Matthews doing commentary there for a while, and I am not a fan
They
of Josh.
Still have.
I don't like Josh Matthews.
Nah.
I thought he was...
In the WWE, I was a fan, but since he came over to TNA,
He was pretty WWE, too. Mm-hmm. He was like a backstage interview. He used to do Velocity, right?
Yeah. Well, he started in Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he wanted to be all wrestlers, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he didn't...
Byron Saxton also was one of the Tough Enough guys.
Yeah.
Who ended up
Byron Saxton
going into
was
the commentary.
In, wasn't one of the NXT, like, game show seasons, too.
Was he? Like, the Daniel Bryan season,
where you had a pro... I think he was season four. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I think Titus O'Neil might have been his pro.
Okay.
Yeah, they did that with them, but they, I don't know, something, he made an okay backstage interviewer just because he was smaller than most of the guys, mm-hmm. kind of looked like a dork at the time.
Yeah.
So it was a good comparison,
yeah.
but he could talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as they tried to, like, force him to have any kind of personality beyond that, he just became wildly grating.
Yeah, his character just never worked, really.
He is getting it out with Madison Rain, though, so who's the real winner here?
Him.
Not us.
All right, real quick here, I want to talk about Tony Schiavone.
Okay.
Because we touched on him a little bit, but I'm a big fan of Tony Schiavone.
Mm.
Like, as far as his work, like, calling matches and everything else.
Yeah, he's been good. He had to have some kind of heat with WWE to not come in.
He still hasn't been there. Like, I don't know what it is, because they brought Bischoff in.
Yeah, I know he and Heenan didn't get along. In fact, they might still not.
Okay.
I think the story is that when WCW cut Heenan...
Mm-hmm.
He and Schiavone were good friends.
Okay.
And then basically when WCW fired Heenan and like the rest of like that manager staff that they had, they didn't talk. And Schiavone's story is WCW told him not to talk to him because they might file a lawsuit or something, wrongful termination. They're afraid of that.
Yeah.
So they go, if you talk to Heenan, it could give him case to do something and we just want you to talk to him. And Heenan was like, but we were like best friends. Why didn't you...
Yeah.
You think I would do that? And it led to some heat. I don't know if they've...
Grudge.
Yeah, I don't know if they've settled it in the past few years, especially... Mm. I hope so, because...
I do, too. He's getting...
Heenan died.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died.
Okay. I'm like, that's what I wasn't sure.
He was doing very poorly.
You could see... You could see it. He couldn't really talk as well anymore.
He had cancer of the throat, and I think he lost his lower jaw.
I believe that.
Like, for a while, it was almost, like, hard to look it in, because they couldn't... They had to take out his lower jaw, but like, so if you or I got that, they could like make us something to like fix our head to look right. He was so old and
frail
that like he'll die in that surgery. We just can't give him one.
Gotcha. That's sad.
It was really, they say that the hardest thing for him was like he was just this guy that could communicate any thought and make anybody feel any. And like in the last few years of his life, he couldn't talk.
That's such a bummer. I know.
Yeah, but to feel better, you really do need to go watch that that Bobby Heenan. Induction speech.
It's really good.
It's hilarious.
It's really
he talks about all the animals in WWE, and then talks about being a weasel, and he finishes the speech. The only one thing missing. I wish Gorilla were here.
I know. Oh my god, it's coming. The Hall of Fame's coming. I'm gonna
Friday night.
I'm gonna just
watch. watch that Hall of Fame and just cry like a baby every year.
I work on Friday night. I get out of work and then I watch that and I just have a good cry.
I'm gonna come watch that at karaoke. Like, I'm gonna bring a laptop and watch karaoke.
Cry in front of people.
No, you're not gonna be able to watch. You're gonna see me crying in a booth by myself and
someone's gonna be like, "Showtime, what's happening?
The Hall of Fame." He's like, "We gotta get no. He's good.
He's fine. He's normal. He's letting it out, man."
That's a good cry.
But back to Shivani really quick. I don't know if the grudges are particularly, because I know he was one of the guys who gave away WWE results.
Yeah, that probably didn't help his case.
I know him and Foley had heat because he was the guy who was all like, "Oh, that'll put butts in seats."
Yeah.
And they actually had an exchange, phone conversation.
Yeah, I heard that really hurt Mick's feelings.
It did, because like he's like, "Come on now, like..."
Yeah. Mick's a good guy, but very sensitive. He may be too sensitive for the industry in which he's worked.
That's why I feel like he was only 3-time champion. Like, he didn't have that, you know.
Yeah, I figured I've heard wrestlers say that. Like, Mick Foley is too nice of a guy to have ever been a pro wrestler.
I love it, like...
But yeah, I imagine he hit heat with all the right people. Because he was a good announcer.
He was good. He was good commentator. And, based on what I understand, the way that WCW show was put together, it's fucking magic. That he could come out with anything legible.
Sounds like an hour before the show.
Oh, here's all the matches. Like
a mess.
And then they would change it again. I'm just like, oh my god. Like Gene Okerlund's a big guy who talks about it a lot. About how much of a fucking mess it was backstage.
Yeah, you would think Gene Okerlund, another he didn't do a lot of commentary.
He didn't do commentary. He was like Renee
backstage. Yeah, he's famous. You know? He does some good shoot interviews. Where,
does he?
He seems like kind of a mild-mannered guy where he wouldn't have a lot to say. He fucking calls him by name.
Watch Legends House.
Okay.
If you want to see some classic Gene stuff, because Gene likes the cocktail or two.
Oh, that's I've heard that.
He really has some fun moments on there. It's a really good reality series.
Yeah. There's an interview Gene does where he talks about Eric Bischoff running the company.
Yeah.
And someone asked him, "Why do you think Eric Bischoff didn't do a good job running the company?" He goes, "Eric Bischoff had no idea where the men's room was." Damn! That's such an old man way to, but ruin somebody at the same time.
Definitely some heat there. But one more guy before we get out of here that comes to my mind. Mauro Ranallo.
Big fan.
Yeah. Did you say he's coming back?
He does TNA. Not TNA, I'm sorry. NXT.
Yeah.
So
He went to UFC or MMA?
He did boxing. Before he even came to WWE. He was a boxing announcer.
Okay.
Also a DJ. He DJs electronic, parties.
Okay.
EDM music.
Oh, cool.
For whatever you kids are doing these days.
Whatever you guys are listening to when you're taking your ecstasy.
Yeah, let me just pop a Werther's in my mouth.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, I'm crying. we definitely don't do drugs here. Ever.
No, never.
he did that, and they brought him in for SmackDown, and he's a little over the top.
Yeah.
But with how dry commentary is today, and after talking about more, I'd like to discuss commentary today just a little bit. But,
yeah. We'll give you a little minute for that. Too. Yeah. Because I would like to dabble into that a little bit, too.
But with commentary today kind of being very dry and generic, Mauro definitely added something that definitely needed.
Yeah.
And he and JBL did not get along. Go figure.
Figure
Mauro
that, yeah.
Also a very sensitive guy. He's very open about his bipolar disorder on social media.
Okay.
Big mental health proponent. I've tweeted him. I personally find him to be an inspiration.
I love Mauro Ranallo.
Someone who wants to be involved in the wrestling industry, wants to do stand-up comedy, but also struggles with pretty profound mental illness. Mm-hmm. I look at him, a guy that's really struggling, but he's living his dreams and does everything he wants.
But he still struggles.
He's so well. But yeah, still struggles, but managed to do it. And that's super inspiring.
Three claps for him. Absolutely love it.
But yeah, it sounds JBL was giving him a hard time, and Mauro. So he missed a SmackDown taping in Canada, which is or no, it was he Mauro's in Canada. So Mauro missed a SmackDown taping, and they brushed it off as the weather was really bad. It was about a year ago.
Okay.
So the weather was really bad, and they're like, "Oh, he just can't get here because of the weather."
Yeah.
And then he missed the next SmackDown taping, and they're like, "Well, he." what's going on? And they had, like, people go check on him. He was having a hard time. He's like, I don't, wasn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said it wasn't JBL, but then every story he tells says it's JBL. So,
JBL's probably involved based on what it sounds like.
JBL was on the SmackDown commentary at the time, and JBL would really snipe at him on commentary. You can hear him do it.
Oh, yeah. JBL can create controversy, but...
Yeah, well, Moro won a... Yeah. There was... I forget who gave it to him, but there was... He won, like, an award for best commentator. Mm. And JBL would just go on and on about how that wasn't a real award, and, like...
Just run him down, and just...
Yeah, I think bullying it sounded like something that Moro was pretty proud of winning, and JBL would just run it down on TV every chance he got.
Come on now, yeah. And it sounds like it was... Whatever happened to be a star, everybody? Like,
yeah.
JBL, Triple H.
Yeah.
Others.
They, so he left the main roster, and they thought he was going to quit. And it sounds like WWE really had to do some, like, talking, but now he does NXT commentary.
Awesome.
And he does very well.
Okay, here's a question for you guys. Who is your favorite commentator right now? Like doing it right now?
Right now, Corey Graves, but I do have high hopes that Jonathan Coachman's going to be something
Coach is back from ESPN, which is a big deal.
Coach is bringing some legitimacy. I think he's going to get all that, like, nonsense, like, extra cockiness he had as, like, a character. And
he was way over the top.
I think he's going to be done with that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a heel commentator, but I think he's going to bring legitimacy, and it's something different. Mm. First of all, I don't love three-man booths, and I definitely hate the four-man booth thing. I don't know.
Four is way too many. Yeah, too many cooks.
Well, too many cooks, and they're not different enough.
Yeah.
You get, like, Rich Brennan, and then you get the other... I don't even know their names. Like, they all sound the same. Byron Saxton, you know, is maybe my least favorite.
Really?
He is not good.
You don't like Saxton?
Okay, Byron Saxton next to Booker T. Booker T is a god-awful commentator.
Booker T is my least favorite.
When he started doing commentary a few years ago on SmackDown, it was almost like a joke. He's like, oh, Booker T's funny, and he's going shucky ducky, quack, quack.
Yeah,
and,
like...
All right, that's cute. But then after about a month of it, you're like, all right, this isn't endearing anymore. Like, this is annoying.
Yeah.
And they kept doing it, and then they took him off, and things are fine, and they had him do it again. And now he's not endearing at all anyway. He's not even saying funny things. He's just...
Right. Well, like...
Half the things you say doesn't make sense.
My biggest gripe about it. Like, if I'm hearing commentary, I want to be able to pay attention and know what they're talking about. Like, if you're just spewing nonsense, I'm just like, I can't...
It's nonsense, and suppose it's, like, just inaccurate facts. Like, yeah. He'll say things that just aren't... Not untrue to help, but, like, be a heel. Just, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. Unfortunately.
Not a master of the English language, which is fine. You don't need to be. But if you're going to be on the commentary booth, you probably should be.
Yeah.
So he was a problem because he was just bad. And everybody else I dislike because they're really generic. I think Corey Graves is different.
Yeah.
He's got a good speaking voice. He can do face and heel commentary pretty well.
Yes, absolutely.
Blend between them. He's just not the same. I wouldn't say he's gonna have a legendary career in commentary. I don't think.
Nah.
I wouldn't put him as one of the best, or maybe even think he could be one of the best. He can easily be the best they have right now, just because.
Corey Graves is really good.
Yeah,
Corey Graves is really good.
Nigel McGuinness NXT is also.
Is he pretty good?
Yeah, he. I think we discussed this one time. He was a wrestler. Was Nigel McGuinness in the Indies and in Europe? Was Desmond Wolfe in TNA?
Okay.
The specifics aren't readily available, but the rumors were he got some kind of something
injury
that was. They weren't physical. They were, like, I think they were, like, they were afraid they were blood related. People threw HIV around. I'm not claiming that. Don't sue me. That was one of the rumors. Or something to the effect of where it was not safe for him to be...
Making that much
Hep C might be another thing. Anything that exchanges through blood...
Yeah, they're not going to just clear you.
Yeah,
not gonna.
If you It's one thing, even if a company doesn't allow blood, there's still a chance you're going to get hit and you're going to bleed.
Yeah, you headbutt somebody.
If you can't bleed in wrestling, they're not going to have you wrestle. But it was really too bad because he was very good and kept pretty young.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job on commentary, and he... definitely for having an accent, he does really, really well.
Awesome. Bruiser, you got a favorite?
I don't have
a
favorite. I like them all about the same.
Okay.
I've been watching for a little over 1 year now.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Was the Royal Rumble the first pay-per-view that you hung out with me last year, or was it?
We watched it after Chili Fest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We hadn't God, I hadn't realized how much wrestling was going to be a part of my life.
So I know, it'll sneak up on you like that. Let me tell you. Next thing you know, you're podcast of the world.
You don't know. I'm
pretty sure
until
I watched
late.
It really, really drunk after a night at the bar, probably like midnight. Remember, we used to do the late night WWE, and then I was like, "Why am I fighting it?" Monday, Tuesday, I'm there.
Awesome,
it's so great. It's interesting that you've been watching for about a year. And that you feel like all the commentators are about the same to you, and you don't like.
That's a fair assessment.
Well,
based
like,
on
how generic.
So that's another thing. He's the best commentator.
I
listen to a lot of commentary when I watch wrestling, but not when I'm watching with him, because he and I do the play by play and the color, and
we have a good time with
the rest of the room. No, I think we're a good announced team, man.
I do too. WWE better watch out, man. Yeah. We're coming for you. I'm gonna get that NWA championship, and we're gonna have a 3-person table, and we're gonna break the whole thing down.
I try to watch it by myself, but I can't watch it without Joe because, really, the commentators are just background music.
Yeah, they're not. They're not good. Do you watch much of like the past stuff at all with him?
No, I don't. That's what I watch by myself.
Sure. Well, what have you watched in the past?
See, I haven't watched it enough consecutively. Didn't Lawler, wasn't he on regularly?
Yeah.
Recently enough?
He had a heart attack.
So a few years ago.
A couple years back.
He's still sometimes.
Around that area. He had a beef with CM Punk.
Yeah.
That got really intense. Like. Yeah.
Well, he still sometimes does do commentary too, like occasionally.
He came
does,
back
like,
for the Rumble.
Shows. Yeah, he does do stuff occasionally. But yeah, the last time he was doing commentary full time, he had that heart attack, which was one of the scarier moments.
I was terrified. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was interesting because that put the.
He just had a match.
Yeah, like, no, he had that match.
And he went back to commentary.
Yeah, he says he doesn't remember anything like past the beginning of that match either. Like that.
Wow.
But that was at the end of the Michael Cole heel turn.
Yeah.
Michael Cole was the worst thing ever.
What I was going to bring up, talking about commentary today. Michael Cole, we got to talk about him. He's been there forever.
He is exactly what that company wants.
He's not a good commentator,
but he is exactly what that company is looking for.
Yes.
He presents the characters and the storylines the way they're meant to be presented.
He calls enough moves.
Yep, he built him from the ground up.
They literally did. Like, he came from reporting.
And then he did Warzone.
Yeah. And then he came and he started doing a lot of backstage stuff. I remember The Rock used to make fun of him, like, all the time.
Yeah.
He had one interview where The Rock put a t-shirt over his face and just did the interview like that. That was pretty funny. And then he went to the commentary table.
He did SmackDown for many, many years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were just like, all right, we've got Jerry Lawler and the King on Raw doing what they're doing. You know, they've been announcing forever. We're not going to tell them how to do it.
We've got the new school Michael Cole over here. The King would come over there.
Sometimes. And they had Taz doing it for a long time.
We got to talk about Taz.
I love Taz. I guess this show isn't ending anytime soon, guys. I'm not a big Taz and a commentary fan.
Really?
But I feel like they realized that like Raw they weren't going to be able to mess with the commentary too much because they had guys that were established, they were going to do how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Taz wasn't great, but they're like, Michael Cole is experienced but generic.
Yeah.
And we can turn him into whatever we need him to be.
Absolutely.
To present
good
our...
guy works. Bad guy works.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually thought he was a terrible bad. I found that whole thing pretty egregious.
You didn't like the coal mine?
No.
I loved the coal mine.
It was too over the top.
Like he's undefeated at WrestleMania because he beat Lawler. That was
a little ridiculous.
As soon as
they start having to take the camera off the wrestlers to show the announcers bickering with each other, you've jumped the shark.
But, my point is, like, the heel stuff works because y'all saw Braun Strowman, like, toss Michael Cole a couple weeks ago, and y'all loved it.
Like,
you know what I mean? People like seeing Michael Cole get beat up. Well, that's why it works.
But because there's not managers anymore.
He is like a manager,
essentially. That would be the role that you'd see Bobby Heenan or Jim
Cornette.
If
Michael Cole was around in the 70s, he would have a stable of people, and he'd be like, Class and Freddie Blass.
He'd be like a little dorky guy that, you know, helps him cheat and they like
Jimmy Hart.
Everybody thinks he's a dork, but you know, gets ahead. And then when the heel finally or the face kind of gets their hands on him, people will pay for a ticket to see him get beat up.
Absolutely. That's fair. But no, we'll talk about Taz, and then we will go into final thoughts, guys. Sure. So unless you guys got anybody else to talk about. Taz, the human suplex machine. Great wrestler.
Great wrestler.
I love this commentary.
Love on wrestling. I think he's... I don't actually care for him that well as a person.
I know Cody Goads is a huge Taz guy because when I got Cody Goads to start watching wrestling, it was SmackDown. I'd go over there because I didn't have the station at my TV at my house, so I'd go over there and it was Michael Cole and Taz, and I've always liked Taz because he captivates it. He was a wrestler, and that's WWE's thing. They like to have one person who was a wrestler there and one person who, just can call the stuff.
No, I really like Taz as a wrestler. I loved his style. The chokes and the suplexes. I thought he was great. His speaking voice was a little grady.
Was it too New York-y for you?
It was that Brooklyn thing.
What I'm saying. I feel like it's the Brooklyn accent
I don't want to hear Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Well, I feel like Taz borrowed a lot from Joey Styles. WrestleMania 19, when Brock gets hurt, you hear the, oh my God!
He probably did. I would not put it past Taz to be talking to Joey Styles about how to commentate.
I feel like that's kind of...
It didn't seem organic with him. And then he actually does his own podcast now.
Yeah.
And he's got...
You familiar with Taz and TNA at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like they kind of took the training wheels off of him and then let him go a little bit more and everything.
Yeah, I just...
He found his voice is what I'm trying to say. His podcast now and everything, what I mean?
He just rubs in the wrong way and something... And not that he doesn't deserve a bit of arrogance because he has had a great career.
Yeah.
He just... Something about the way he interacts with the fans... There are fans that interact poorly with wrestlers.
Yeah.
And there are wrestlers that interact poorly with fans.
I can see this.
I think he has a good mix of, fans don't interact well with him sometimes, and he doesn't interact well with fans.
No, at WrestleMania 23, I actually had a meet and greet with Taz. Mm-hmm. And, I could see that because, he'd be, a little bit more aggressive with, the fans and everybody.
Yeah,
he would walk over and talk to one of the wrestlers, and then people would be all like, yo, he'd be like, yeah, I'll be over there in a minute.
He wasn't afraid to tell you to fuck off if you need
to. No, absolutely. Which is not great,
I hear he was in ECW locker room, he was just the most unapproachable guy in the world.
Was he really?
He was just mean.
Okay.
He and Sabu didn't get along.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard
Taz was just a miserable guy who liked being miserable and just was mean and cantankerous. No one wanted to be around. I hear when he got married, had family, he definitely
calmed down. Lightened up. I hear he's a cool guy.
The way
now,
people do.
I've seen him firsthand be kind of short with people. Yeah, so it's hard to argue any of the bad
the
stuff.
The story is that
was years ago now,
The story is that Raven used to crack him up because that's what Raven would do backstage.
Raven's a hero of mine.
Would just make people laugh.
Flock, I swear
to God. Yeah, that he would make Taz laugh and Taz would get mad at him. He's I don't want to laugh.
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
I met Taz too one time and he actually did sign something for me. Pleasant.
He was pleasant to me, but I've seen him be short with other people.
Basically, we're standing at the rail by the parking lot where we're not allowed to go on the other side of the rail because
I've done that. The
wrestlers are in that parking lot.
Yep.
And he came over and he walks up to us and people kind of hollering. He goes, "Everybody, don't holler at me. I will sign your stuff, and I'll gladly say hi to you. Don't yell at me."
Right.
So he was happy to sign things. He was happy to say hi. He wanted no part of, the screaming fans, though, and he made it very clear.
I have a very similar story like that, except it's not Taz. It's Bill Goldberg.
That sounds right.
I was sitting here, had my sign, Goldberg signed it and everything, and the person next to me is losing it, and he just goes, "Calm down!" I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Goldberg's gonna kill a fan.
It seems like one of those things where, they want you to interact with the fans, and you're happy to do it because you're a company guy, but God, people get under your skin. So if they could be
I could see
not
how
as taxing,
extreme yeah. people come at you could get to you.
No, for sure. It's just, I don't feel like... A lot of guys, if they don't handle that well, they just don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So CM
usually
Punk,
end up becoming heels because
When I met CM Punk, he looked at us, smiled, gave us a smirk, walked inside.
There you go.
He's not an approachable person, so he didn't approach anybody.
There you go.
It seemed like Taz wasn't an approachable person, but did it. He approached us anyway, so it led to some weird interactions.
Well, like I said, when he was signing stuff for me, I feel like he had to do it because it was part of our travel. Yeah, so he was there because he had to be there.
And a lot of guys are told, I imagine Goldberg was probably doing this, where they told him, hey, go mingle with the fans, please, like...
Yeah.
He wouldn't have done it. Had he was not the main been
event. He was the main event that day. Yeah. Like Goldberg was the man. So yeah. Well, all right, guys. That is a tasty, tasty episode right there. We are the Undisputed Podcast, starring Brooke the Bruiser and also Tribute and Chad Showtime Schultz. You can find us at undisputedpodcast.com, also at Trebuchet LOL at Showtime Schultz, and we are ready for final thoughts here, guys. Since it's starring Brooke the Bruiser, Bruce. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I'm glad we talked about these things.
I'm glad we talked about them.
Yes, me too. Final thoughts here. Showtime.
So the road to WrestleMania has begun.
Oh, WrestleMania, yes. I've hung my sign at my house.
Yes. Lots of pointing to be done.
Yes.
I'm getting pumped. We found out that we have a Women's Elimination Chamber match coming.
Yes. Big news. Big news.
We have a number one contenders Elimination Chamber coming out.
Yes.
Ronda Rousey's here. Asuka's getting a title shot. Mm-hmm. Shinsuke Nakamura, my pick to win the Royal Rumble, won.
Yes.
I didn't win the title the other night. I'm actually still pretty beat up, but I thought I had that thing in the bag.
Yeah, Mojo is your Undisputed Podcast.
If it wasn't me, he deserved it.
That's cool. He had some solid picks, man.
He was right up there. I think it came down to me and him picking like the Royal Rumble or something. We differed on one thing,
and that's what the thing was that. Gave him the championship.
Yeah, but
there'll be another chance as Elimination Chamber's coming up.
Absolutely. But the road to WrestleMania is here. Getting hyped. I will be keeping my ear to the ground for all the rumors and statistics. I like to think of myself as the statistics man for this show.
That's fair.
I got my ear in the game all the time because I live on Twitter. if you have any tips, anything you want to discuss, please tweet me at Showtime Schultz.
Yes.
Happy to be here as always. Trebuchet, final thoughts.
Yes, final thoughts here. I'd like to say thank you to my parents for letting us use this room here.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Catapult.
Yes.
Trebuchet Catapult is his name.
Yes. I also want to say awesome t-shirt today, Chad. Rocking the Nexus shirt over here.
You're the Nexus.
I could not.
You're against us.
I could not end this episode without pointing out the sick shirt here.
Thank you for the shirt for Christmas, Mom. My mom,
we're just shouting out parents.
My mom would take me to the wrestling pay-per-views at B-Dubs, and she saw the Nexus and thought they were cool. It was like the one thing she knew about wrestling.
Yes.
So this year for Christmas, she's like, well, I wanted to give him a wrestling shirt, and I wanted to give him something I knew about. And he didn't really want a John Cena shirt, so I got him a Nexus shirt.
Yes. It was a free clap for Chad's mom.
Again,
right,
my mom's amazing. She's not listening to this, but let her know.
Yeah, let her know if you see her. I also want to say awesome artwork here, Bruiser.
Like, thank you.
I don't think my notes have ever looked more glamorous here. So, I am really excited for the mixed match challenge going on, guys.
Yes.
Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman look almost unbeatable right now. I'm really worried for Team Asuka, which is my pick to win the whole thing. Yeah, I really hope I take that down.
I think Team Rubs might be in trouble too, which do we still have like an 8-way tie in that?
I think we do.
So far.
I think we do.
Next week,
we got Goldust and Mandy Rose on a team now because Alicia Fox is injured. And
versus
the married couple, Naomi and Jimmy Uso.
Is it Jimmy Uso? I can't remember which.
Yep.
It's Jimmy Uso.
And we'll be talking more about that. Upcoming in the future here, guys, we're going to have a Elimination Chamber podcast. Woo. Next week, we're going to have all kinds of new surprises for you. Woo. Check out all of our stuff on YouTube. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.